This is PFW in progress.
All right, listen up, guys. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except the four ass coming in the rear in standard 2x2 cover formation.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Relax, we got everything in this mug, man. Look at this: CD, CV, TV, telephone, full bar, VHS.
Ready for some tunes?
Hey, out of work.
Any Christmas music?
This is Christmas music.
Paul Perillo.
It's Christmas Eve. Families, stockings, chestnuts, Rudolph and Frosty. Any of these things ring a bell? Go join the party, have some champagne. You're making me feel like Ebenezer Scrooge. Thanks a lot, Mr. De Niro. Do you think the baby can handle a little sip? That baby's ready to tend bar.
And Andy. And Andy?
I think it's very depressed this time of year. He thought he was God's greatest gift, you know?
Andy Hart.
Sorry to waste your time.
No problem at all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Some guy named Tom.
Ah, a machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho.
PFW in progress.
This is their idea of Christmas. I gotta be here for New Year's.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
And it sure is frightful here in New England. We're in the middle of one of those nor'easters.
Not just New England, though. This, I know my sister-in-law is stuck in Chicago and... This is across the whole Midwest.
If it was snow, it wouldn't be so bad.
My parents got 2 feet. You're calling this a nor'easter?
Oh, no, your parents weren't where it was really
No,
bad.
They got it today.
No, 2 feet is nothing.
They,
yeah. There's other places
feet.
Out there where they have but the 144
inches. I wouldn't call this a nor'easter.
Well, it's the nor'easter because of the precipitation and the wind.
Right.
It's not a lot of snow.
Well, the nor'easter, is the wind and anything.
The
yeah, the wind-driven rain or snow or whatever.
But
for
some
reason,
it's a mess
it never gets cold enough to snow around here anymore.
I'd rather
sure
have it snow, but it's like sleet and freezing rain, which is sleet. But it's a mess. So anyway, that's
it's sleet. That's freezing rain, which is sleet.
That's the weather report up here at Gillette Stadium, home of the Patriots. And we're here, PFW in progress, until 2 o'clock. To take your emails at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Fred, Andy, Tom, Gary's in the booth. Paul's on vacation.
No,
he's in Florida.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He picked a great week to
perfect,
go, huh?
Perfect time.
Yeah, we lost the fat man and we're running lean for 2 hours. I'm sure somewheres right now Paul is boring the hell out of somebody.
Probably.
But it won't be us for
now,
2 hours.
I guess his parents have a house down there or something like that?
Yes, near Orlando, I think, or
wow.
In Orlando.
That's
or...
great. He's living large.
Yeah.
Wow.
Literally.
Tonight.
Check his waistband.
Oh.
Let's groove tonight.
You know, he could be listening if they have the internet.
And his belly may be exposed if he's in under the sun. I think they have a covered pool. He's out.
I don't know anything.
That's a sight.
And he'll be mad, too.
That's a sight. There she blows.
The person he's boring is his son, Will. At least he's young enough, so it's just, you know, he just hears it, but it doesn't matter.
He just caught me with a mouthful.
Well, that's the report on Paul. I did hear him on the big show. Last week, and he was with Lenny Clark.
Yep. You never know. He
actually tried to compete a little bit as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, you told me
he
was interjecting his comedy routine.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone was listening.
Yeah, I might do it, but you're worse.
You know,
Paul's not all that funny.
He can be at times. No?
You're funnier than him.
No, Paul once in a while comes out with a good zinger.
I don't think so.
No?
Well, I'm just going to rip Paul all day since he's not here.
All right.
Comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Well, again, it's webradio@patriots.com. A little bit quiet here at Patriots headquarters. Nothing new to report on the Asante Samuel situation. We're within the window where the Patriots can declare him a franchise or transition player if they want, but there's no news. So we'll see what happens. Tom, Andy, and Brian Lowe will be going to the Combine next week. What is it, next week or the week after?
It's next week.
Next week.
Wednesday we leave.
Right. And Belichick will be there, but according to what we've been told, he is not going to be speaking to the press at all.
As of right now, he's
as
not planning.
Right,
last year, Tom and I, John Tomasi, Jerome Solomon, a few people from the Globe, we sat down at Shula's restaurant in the lounge and had an awkward meeting with Bill. Apparently, we're not going to get that this year.
Yeah, well, and we thought we were just going to talk. Tomasi thought we were going to have a steak dinner.
Tomasi was there thinking he was going to eat with Bill. That didn't happen.
Well, anyway,
But according, no media.
Nothing.
He's talking to no media next week at the Combine.
And last year, we had it the Thursday of the Combine, the first day we're sort of doing the media thing, is the deadline to announce franchise and transition. So last year, that was sort of the reason behind it. was not franchising Adam. And then we obviously talked about other things, but apparently this year, even though it's still the deadline, it's still a new, you know, that's newsworthy either way. Whether they franchise him or not,
right.
that's newsworthy. You want to talk to the head coach, but doesn't sound like as of right now we'll be talking to him.
Although there, that's where we did learn that he has no idea how to scout. Because according to Bill Belichick, well, I don't know. The season just ended. I don't even know these players' names.
Right.
even though he knows the names of their parents and their cousins and everything else.
And then a month later, he drafted Chad Jackson.
There was some news, you know, minor news. Bubba Ventrone was cut.
Sad day. Sad
Tom
day
cried.
For the New England Patriots.
Tom
sad
literally
day.
Cried.
Yeah.
Yes. Terrible move.
Is it NFL Europa or NFL Europa?
Now
know.
They changed it this year to Europa.
I'm Europa. Calling that, it NFL. That's a moon off of Jupiter.
I'm calling it NFL Europe.
Now we're calling it. It's now the.
You know
it.
The moons
can't
of
tell
Jupiter.
Me what to do.
I do.
Why?
Titan, Europa.
You're an idiot.
Probably just helped his son.
Hey, boss.
Science.
You're a loser.
Yeah. Did you?
What's that?
Tell me you don't just know that because.
No,
you...
I know that because remember the. Book 2001.
Yeah. Space Odyssey
or
whatever?
Yeah.
It was in that?
Yeah. Arthur C. Clarke. I mean, you know, I remember.
But it's also things. How they say Europe in Europe, right? I mean, in
Europa.
Spanish or
really?
German or it's Europa.
It's bad
it's
football.
And plus,
it
it's not even really Europa. It's Germany plus one, isn't it? I believe all the teams except
there's one in
Germany.
London.
And we got an email.
He's talking gone. Like the guy in Fat Albert.
I think it's Amsterdam, and then all the rest are in Germany, aren't they?
I don't know. Who cares?
Are you the one who covers it?
Yeah, it's most of them are in Germany. But we got an email.
I thought the Monarchs were in Germany.
For Christ's sakes.
I don't think so.
There's
they
Amsterdam.
Were. I mean, there used
there's
to be
Scotland.
Spain
Scotland and Amsterdam have a team.
And then the rest are German.
Yes.
Rhine and whatever else is in
Colonia.
Germany.
All right.
Yeah.
But we had an email asking about sending, you know, Matt Cassel over there. Listen, Matt Cassel is way above going to NFL. They get quarterbacks like Brock Berlin who are just praying to make a practice. Yeah.
That would hurt him.
That, the only time you would send a Matt Cassel over would be when they drafted him, like his first year.
Right.
He's entrenched as a backup quarterback in the NFL.
In
so
your system.
Yeah, so there's no way a guy like that. That's what kind of football it is. I mean, it's that. It's really bad football.
It's also it's last-ditch effort for a lot of guys. I mean, they sent Rohan, and it was sort of just to get him some playing time, but it was the end of the road. Drew Henson, guys that have, you know, come up and
Rohan
then failed already sometimes end up over there. But it just – I don't think the NFL Europe thing has worked out maybe the way the league has intended. And I don't know the numbers in terms of fans and all that and growing the game.
But I don't think they send players over. Like, I think when it first started, they were sending over some guys that they thought – could be players, and now today I think they send guys who they're hoping may make the practice
right,
squad.
But that's the problem. Originally, I think they thought it was going to be more developmental than it has been.
Yes,
and
it is
the issue is the coaching. With the way everything has become year-round, coaches feel they can do more with players here in meetings and off-season workouts than sending them to run a different defense
so
under a different coach.
They're really sending fringe players.
Yeah.
Right. Other news since the last time we were together last Wednesday. Big news, NFL, I guess.
Marty
Schottenheimer got canned.
Which he should have been. If they wanted to do that, they should have did it the day after they lost to the Patriots and not 2 months later.
Yeah.
Yeah, they blew that terribly.
Well, I just think they probably thought about it, but then
But Fred, here's
with
the
all
point.
The coaches leaving. And
but Fred,
but
here's the point. He didn't sign an extension, so he was only going to be there for a year. So you had to know that now if you wanted one of those assistants, they're gone now. Because you had to know that at least one of them was going to get a head coaching job.
Right.
So was it the right move for the future by having Schottenheimer come back for 1 year? Or should he have just made the change now, knowing you have a very good team?
Well, they should have probably made the change the day he said, I won't sign the extension.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Probably. Because that made it obvious it was a one-year short-term thing.
So San Diego's interviewing a few guys. Names have been circulating. Ron Rivera, Mike Singletary.
North Turner.
Singletary. That guy's had more jobs than...
I'd go Mike Singletary. I keep saying that. No one seems to be listening.
I wouldn't mind
because
Rivera
as the
coach.
Because you've got too much talent to put it with a guy who's never been a head coach yet.
So we'll put it with a guy who we know will fail in North Turner.
Yeah, so you know what
I'm
not
saying him either.
Andy, you know what I would do? I would give Rivera the job and have him bring Singletary in as his defensive coordinator.
That's fine.
Because I know that they won't run a cover two. That's not they will run an aggressive defense there in San Diego.
I have no problem with Rivera either. I just North Turner,
No. I mean,
I know in theory, Fred, they're a number one seed and you want a veteran coach,
but
I want a veteran coach who'll win.
They lost their top five coaches.
Right.
From last year's staff. So now they were a great team this year, but now if we're looking realistically, can we expect them to be a Super Bowl contender?
They're not going to win the AFC West.
Right, so there you go. That's my point, Fred. So wouldn't you make the best decision for the long term instead of the short term?
I think you're right.
Could bring in Bill Parcells. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or Pete Carroll. There's been rumors that Pete Carroll.
And he's not talking. He said he won't address the issues.
He shouldn't be addressing anything because there's a lot of fires burning in USC these days, and he needs to put some of them out.
Well, maybe that's maybe he needs to get out.
But they'd have to obviously fire A.J. Smith, I would think, because he's not going to work on
Pete Carroll. I think Spanos, the owner of the Chargers, figures whoever I bring in will do that dirty work. That A.J. Smith, I don't like him.
I don't either.
I don't like him at all.
Now, we were kind of saying last year that he's, you know, you got to tip your hat to him. He's made some good moves. I think maybe he just got lucky. I think he's kind of an idiot who makes these crazy moves, and every now and then you're going to hit on a couple of them.
Well, he learned under a guy named Butler, who was the Bills GM, who went over to San Diego and brought Smith with him. Butler was a pretty good talent evaluator.
He was, and maybe Smith is.
Yeah.
A lot of his issues seem to be dealing with other coaches and communication issues, and maybe he is a pretty good talent evaluator, but that's not the only aspect of his job.
Right. He's a jerk.
There's other parts of his job you have to do.
Giants made some news. They had some, I guess, the first name cuts. Three guys, Carlos Emmons,
Pettigrew, done.
Pettigrew? Is it Pettigrew?
First, let me just, can I just say something, being from New York?
Yeah.
Luke Pettigrew.
Puttygout?
Is Luke Pettigrew could be the worst starting offensive tackle in pro football. He's that bad. You can't even mention his name to a Giant fan. He has to have the most false starts and holding penalties over the last 5 years. He's an absolutely terrible football player. So the fact that he's out there, like if you were like a team like the Patriots, listen, he's garbage. I'll just tell you that right now. And Arrington, my guess is that he's pretty banged up from those injuries that he's had.
But the thing is, he was playing really well.
That's
until
why
he got
I'm
hurt
saying
last.
The injuries are probably.
Yeah. But he was also due a lot of money.
Right.
His contract was sort of along the way incentive laden. So if you keep him, you're building up the money you owe him. It was kind of do it now, or you're in this for the long run, and they went the other way.
Okay, now, and who's – this isn't a Giant, but who's the cornerback that has to be traded?
Dre Bly. I take him in 2 seconds.
Okay.
You couldn't get me to the airport fast enough to pick him up.
I hear they're only looking for a third-round pick.
Don't know how to do business. This is a Pro Bowl-caliber cornerback you're talking about.
I'll give you Dre Bly.
Good.
Yeah.
If I was the Patriots, I would already have that deal done.
Okay. Plus, I don't know whatever his contract was, but you're off the hook for the bonus. You just have to pay the salaries.
Yeah.
So even if you have to renegotiate it,
cornerback.
Yeah, I'd take him. And that would be a way to cover if you're not planning on throwing money at Samuel.
How much would you give for him?
What do you mean?
If you, in a trade,
well, I'd give
you
a third.
I'd give a third.
What would you give more? Would you give a second?
I probably wouldn't go that because he's getting up there a little bit. So
I
third
give a
sound,
second.
Third sounds,
but a third and a fifth.
Well,
maybe.
I'm just saying the Patriots. If people are willing to give a third, we'll give them a third and that other six. We can't trade that because.
But
it's
you
not
can trade your six.
You can trade your other six.
Or I would throw some crap in. I wouldn't move any higher.
Or even a fifth, like Andy said. Because
I wouldn't
you have two sixes.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't move any higher with the main pick. I might throw something in, or
if you get Dre Bly. Are you a little bit more tough with Asante Samuel?
If you get Dre Bly, Samuel's gone, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't
if you get Dre Bly and Asante Samuel, then you got pretty good set of quarters.
So if you get Dre Bly, do you lessen your efforts to keep Samuel, or do you keep that the same, hope you can keep
both
of them?
Well, you try for him, but I think, like you said, you're a little more lenient with the negotiations now.
So Bly's that good?
I'm a huge Dre Bly fan. I love him. I think he's been an underrated player in this league for years. I think he's played on some bad defenses, and he's been the one guy. Like, you look at that Detroit team, he's the one guy you have to stay away from because he can really cover. That's what he's a pure cover guy.
Right.
You know, one of those guys, he may not light you up like Samuel does on some hits, but you talk about covering skills, you know, third-round draft pick.
And this is the kind of guy that the Patriots like to get.
Yeah.
Because he's coming from a team that's going nowhere.
Right.
He's hungry for winning. He comes in here like Corey Dillon.
He got his money.
And he's born again.
He got his. Yep. He got a good bonus to go there.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what it was, but it was a good chunk of bonus.
Let me tell you something about Dre Bly. You think Hobbs is confident? You haven't seen confidence until this guy gets here and starts talking.
That's what you want
in
your cornerbacks.
But I'm just saying, this guy, he is a very confident player. So if you had Hobbs and Dre Bly starting at corner, you'd have a pulse story for the paper every week.
All right.
That's true.
Sounds good to me.
I would go after it, even as an insurance policy in the Samuel thing.
I would leave no stone unturned this year. Ted Johnson on the radio today for quite a while on the local sports radio, taking calls. I guess he was on for about an hour talking about his issues and everything. He sounded good.
Sounded good. If I'm a Patriot.
Although we forgot the score of that Pittsburgh playoff game that they lost. He thought it was 7-0. It was 7-6.
It was 7-6. If I'm a Patriot representative, I'm a little worried when he was asked about suing the team, and he said,
well, no,
I can't
comment
on that.
Suing the league.
And the team.
Yeah. He said, I'm not going to comment on that.
If he sues the league, the Patriots will be a co-whatever,
oh,
I would
absolutely.
Assume. But he said he couldn't comment. That's worrisome. Because if you're saying, if you say, if you're not doing it, if you're truly just doing this to bring awareness to the issue, wouldn't you come out and say, yeah, I'm not looking for money.
Well, he's leaving his options open. Yeah.
Either
he's
that suing. Or the paperwork's already being filed.
Yeah. He's suing.
Well, I had a meeting with the board of directors of the Patriots Alumni Club last, was it Thursday or? I don't know, whenever it was, last Thursday night. And we started talking about Ted Johnson. You know, a lot of them, most of them know him and are concerned about him. And the issue got to, you know, the treatment of veterans after they retire and so on and so forth and how bad it is. But it's interesting. I think, I forget who, it might have been Tim Fox had the idea, and I think it makes a lot of sense, is that current players get taxed, a Social Security tax basically, and they get a little portion of their pay goes into basically a player's Social Security fund that guys, in addition to their pension, get when they retire. And these guys pay for their generation, and then the next generation will pay. You know, it's just like the way our Social Security works.
It's not a bad idea.
You know, it's just a little
tax. A fine idea.
Because right now, I know the portion of the revenues go into that whole fund, that whole pot. But it's that 60% of the revenues that the teams get.
Right.
But the players really aren't taxed specifically, you know, for that. And I think they should. I think it should be a union thing. I think it should be just a union tax that goes into basically a Social Security fund for players. You get it when you retire, just like we do.
They won't like it.
Well, I
think there's a lot of people in that locker room who wouldn't like it.
Shut up then.
But, see, the guys who would want it would like it. It's the guys who aren't aware of what's happening. You know, Leonard Myers is going to be mad they did that. They took out $1,000, not thinking that, well, this is an investment when I'm 60 that I'm going to be. He doesn't care about that.
Right.
It's the guys, a Don Davis, a Ted Johnson would say, you know what? That's a good deal.
Well, see, the problem is it's the current guys have it pretty good. I was, you know, they were explaining to me their 401k plan. Okay. They get matched, I think, 3-1. And you're vested after like 5 years, which, you know, here we're lucky if we don't get matching fund. We're vested after 10 in the real world.
Right.
You know, that's a good one.
Hypothetically in the real world.
And then there's another thing that they get that's, you know, an excellent deal that they've got currently.
Well, that's the pension.
The problem is the guys, you know, from 20 years ago don't have.
That's what I was going to ask you, Fred. Now, is this an issue for those players, or is it today's players too? Because, like you said, not only do they make more money, but they're set up better. So maybe today's players are going to say, well, I really don't need that because I already have all this. You know what I'm saying? So is it the guys that kind of played into the late 90s who are who want this?
I think it would help those guys, but I think there's a lot of guys who only play 4 years,
right? No,
never really made it.
I agree with you. I'm just asking how you think the players would look at it.
I think there have to be some arm twisting and some, you know, negotiation. But I think that's a fair way to do it. Because when you look at it, you know, we as civilians, our government is the federal government. That, you know, we give the money to them and they you know,
are
going
to tell us to go screw ourselves
by
the time
we're
ready to collect.
We don't work for a union. You know, basically, anything we do for ourselves as far as retirement, we have to do for ourselves. Social Security isn't going to do it. You know, these guys, they get taken care of, but the guys before them didn't.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know.
But do they need to take care of them?
I think there's going to be an issue that these guys will have to deal with someday that they'll hope somebody helps them out with. You know, who knows? Maybe all these steroids we find out, you know, that weren't necessarily banned right now, like HGH, could have terrible effects on players.
I think there's a pretty good
possibility of that.
You know, and there's a whole new need for insurance that doesn't. I don't know what it is, what the issues could be. Just like, you know, 20 years ago, they didn't know what the issues are today. But there should always be that fund just in case.
That's one of those that's hard. It's you're looking out for yourself. Do I really want money taken out of my check to pay for some guy who played 30 years ago? He should have looked out for himself.
And everyone's going to think, it won't happen to me.
Right.
I won't
and then you get into the whole thing about, you know, the nature of the game. You know, it's a violent game. Yes, players know the risks going in, but what are they going to do? Say no?
Right.
You know,
God gave me this talent.
Right.
Well,
I'm not going to
make millions of dollars
because I can get a concussion. That doesn't make sense.
No.
So, I don't know the answer to that as far as the NFL. Obviously, you need to learn more about what concussions are and how to treat them and avoid them and all that stuff. But you don't want to change the game.
Right.
You know?
And you can't.
Well, they've already changed it.
Right. But you can't to the level. I mean, Ted Johnson was talking about, and there's no question it works, and it's how I played in high school. If you're a linebacker, first thing you do when an offensive lineman's coming out to block you is put your helmet right under his chin.
Right.
Because that stagnates him for a second. It allows you to gain control of a person who's probably bigger than you.
Yeah.
That's how you play. It's just the bottom line. You're not really taught that way, but at some point along the line, you realize this is the best way. This works. And he says that's what he did his
head,
entire
hands,
career.
Head, hands, and body, right?
Right.
Is that how he said it? Yeah.
Right. Because I don't care if you're 700 pounds. If you get popped under the chin with the top of a football helmet, it stuns you for a second.
Right.
And it takes away any advantage you may have had. So you can't take that away from the game. There's no physical way. You know, they've done some things with receivers, quarterbacks, where you can sort of do that. But you cannot take that aspect away from the game. You just can't.
Yeah.
Unless you're totally saying, we're not football anymore. We're a new sport. We're a different sport.
And you know, Ted talks about probably on 85% of the plays he's in,
there's
some type of head contact. And that probably doesn't even account the times where you're knocked to the ground and your head hits the ground. You know?
And like he said, you see the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen. Why do they last so long? Because they don't have a running start when they're running into something. Linebackers, running backs,
you play offensive line
safeties,
for 20 years.
Right, because you're catching people, you're pushing them with
your
hands,
yeah,
you're angling them, just trying to cut them off.
Yeah.
You've got linebackers who are banging heads.
And the other thing about concussions is you don't necessarily have to get a blow to the head to get a concussion.
Right.
It's the movement of the brain. So you could get like that shot that Mormon took, okay? That shot moved his head in such a violent fashion that the brain moved.
Right.
That's what causes the concussion more than the actual blow. It's the movement of the brain. So it doesn't even have to be a direct blow to the head. It's the violent hit that can cause the concussion.
Right.
So, and you can't take that away.
No.
So knowing that's the nature of the game, you know, what do
I
you
think,
do?
But you're never going to fix it. The issue that's just at hand is just educating coaches, educating teams, so that if a guy has an issue, it's dealt with properly. You know, that's
right.
sort of the issue here with Ted Johnson. Going back out 4 days later, getting a second concussion. I guess all the research says that second one is far more dangerous than the first if you haven't healed properly.
Yeah.
It's some of those things. You're never going to get rid of all the concussions and the head injuries. It's just dealing with them in the proper manner.
Right. Right.
But the problem is, I don't think they know the proper manner yet. I don't think there's enough information, research, all that. You know, it's like, well, you should probably wait 4 weeks, or another guy says it's 7 weeks, or some other guy says this and that. They don't really know what they're dealing with yet, so it's in the infant stages of dealing
with
it.
You know, I've heard, let's put an independent NFL doctor on the sideline. Well, he doesn't know anything more than the doctor you have.
Right.
You know, he's going to say, no, you can't go back in, because they're always going to err on the side of safety.
The one thing I found interesting is he said that the Patriots have no cognitive tests for concussions as part of their physicals, and I find that strange because when I was in college, we had them. It was part of training camp. They did, I don't remember, but it was like 20 questions they asked you, and they timed you, and it was somehow recorded. And in theory, if they then asked you those same questions on
butter
the sideline, yeah, it was literally like
butter or margarine.
88 minus 7, and they wanted you to, boom, answer as fast as, and just a base, they called it a baseline.
Right.
That
69.
In theory, after you've been dinged, if they ask you a question, oh, it took longer, he doesn't know what he's answering, and you know, say the weeks backwards, starting at Saturday.
Right.
And think if you struggle well, he's a little.
And they don't do that?
He said the Patriots have no cognitive tests. Some teams do, some teams don't. There's no NFL-wide regulation.
I didn't know
which
that.
Which I, you know, thinking I played whatever it was, 12, 10 years ago now, and that they had it at a Division III school. Now, maybe it was research. I don't really even know why we were doing it. Maybe it was a research study. I have no idea. But you would think it should have advanced, and that at the top game in NFL.
I always thought that there was some baseline things that every doctor did to kind of make sure that the guy, you know, has it together.
But there might
be. At a boxing, they do that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But I think the difference is whether you're just asking the guy, what day is it, what's your wife's name, and who's your teammate, or do you have a file on a guy in how he answered this baseline testing right, when he was in a perfect state of mind.
Interesting.
But again, I just they don't really know, I don't think.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a lot of emails here in PFW Progress.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac-A-Tack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in wintry, cold, sleety New England while Paul bakes in Florida. Wow. And then he doesn't even have to go to the combine. He just
takes vacation.
Life is good. Life is good. All right, the email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. And let's get right to them, shall we? Ravi is from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Ravi. Oli?
And he says, Vegas has already installed the Colts as the second leading contender for next year's Super Bowl behind San Diego. I'm probably biased as a Pats fan, but that sounds a little bit rash considering the Colts have massive free agency salary cap issues while teams like the Patriots and Bears are in great situation for next year. Do you think it's smart to bet on the Pats for next year this early?
Well, first let me say this. Vegas doesn't care what anybody – Vegas is in the money business. They set lines so they can win their casinos, make money. That's why they have those right. Like that. They know if you made the Colts 10-1 coming off a Super Bowl victory with Manning and those guys, you're going to get too much money put on the Colts at 10-1 and they right. could lose money.
Right.
So those lines are set so they don't lose money. That's right. why. Now, they don't look into that kind of stuff like, well, these guys – now, say they lost Reggie Wayne. the odds would drop. Now, I guarantee you, San Diego is no longer number one.
I was just going to say, if you bet early on San Diego, you made a mistake.
Right.
Because you're going to get better odds.
That's how they make adjustments. They don't say, well, Cato June may or may not come back. They just set to how they think the public is going to bet. And I'm not one of those guys who ever thinks. I think if you want to take, if you're in Vegas having a good time and you want to throw $50 on the Pats to say that you got them to win the Super Bowl.
I ever tell you the time I bet on the Pats to win the Super Bowl? 1996, I was in Vegas, 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. I put $100 on them. Put the ticket away. Next thing you know, I'm sitting at the Super Bowl. The Patriots are up 14-10 at halftime. And I just remember, I got 40-1 on $100. I could win $4,000 here. Of course, they didn't win, but, you know.
Is that a fireable offense?
Yeah, it happened a long time ago.
Yeah, well, Paul Tagliabue on the other
that's
line.
That's what I mean. If you want to just do it as a Patriot fan and say you got him, but if you're looking at that to try to make money,
forget it.
Who the heck knows? Who knows?
Although I'll take the Broncos.
This year?
15-1, I think.
Ooh, that's not bad. Broncos, the team to beat.
Jay Cutler, huh?
Jay Cutler.
You really think he's going
to
do it?
I'll wait till after the draft and free agency, Fred, to give you my
opinions. Okay. Well, I'll hold our breath.
He's on the Bucs again.
No, I'm off the Bucs. You can guarantee I'm off the Bucs.
Well, Gruden might even, they said he should look at that San Diego job.
Okay.
You know, he's on unsteady ground in Tampa Bay.
That would be like him. Go to San Diego and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
just keep
that's
bouncing,
true.
Bouncing that's around true. To good jobs that are, you know, got teams that are just ready to go over the top. That's what I would, I know it's hard now at this time, but what are the chances, if you hire Norv Turner, and then he's trying to put together a staff because he's got to hire like five coaches.
Right.
How's that going to work out? I think
they're in big trouble.
And are you doing it for 1 year? If you're doing it for 1 year, just go after whoever you want. Go after Parcells, Cowher.
Right.
I know people say Cowher won't take it because he's best friends with Schottenheimer and all that, but do something. You screwed this up. You got to do something to fix it fast. You can't just waste a season.
Yeah, you either need a established coach like you just mentioned, or you need one of these hot shot young guys that everyone loves.
What is it about Schottenheimer always trying to hire family members? I mean, that's ridiculous.
They all do it, though.
I don't know, though.
They all
do
it.
Brother and his
Dennis Green did it. Romeo did it. Everybody does it.
Wade Phillips will probably bring his father in.
Right. Yeah, they all do it. They all do it.
That's crap.
Over here, Jim Mora.
Giovanni is from Phoenix, Arizona.
I wouldn't be surprised if
playoffs.
Yeah, Belichick's got the little kid. He's writing down all the plays. Yeah. Sooner or later, he might be on the payroll.
I'll hire him.
Why?
He's probably a genius just like his father.
See, there you go. If anyone else does it, it's crazy.
It's stupid, but it's okay if he does it. The kid's 12, and Fred's ready to sign him.
I'll hire him before I hire Kurt Schottenheimer, I tell you that much. Giovanni's from Phoenix, Arizona.
Brian?
With all the talk about linebackers going in the draft for New England, in Woody and others, does this mean that the current linebackers like Vrabel and Bruschi are close to possible retirement?
Bruschi, yes. Vrabel?
No. Another possible player I've heard that New England is interested in is Lance Briggs, who will be an unrestricted free agent. I'd like to hear more about the Patriots' linebacking position. Thanks to all you guys, Paul, Andy, Fred, Tom, Frank, and Brian.
They're dead to us. They're gone.
Yeah. How old is this email?
Where was Shane?
Oh, poor Shane. He was cooler than those two.
No way Lance Briggs comes here. First of all, I'll go out and say this. No way Lance Briggs
judging
leaves the
by
Bears,
that gal.
So I don't think he's going anywhere. Because I'm pretty sure the Bears will at least franchise him. Because they have that defense in place to make another run at the Super Bowl if they get some good quarterback play. So you're not, they don't have to, they're not like pushed up against the salary cap where they can't franchise a guy.
Right.
So I don't think Briggs leaves. We're going to go down. It's hard right now because we haven't got the tapes yet. We haven't been to the combine. You know, I think, was it Woodley he was talking about? Lamar Woodley?
Oh.
See, that's a guy I don't think that can play in the 3-4. They tried him in that capacity in Michigan. He didn't do it well. He's a big, thick guy. You know what I'm saying?
He doesn't have the build.
He doesn't cover. He's just a pure pass rusher. I don't see him fitting into this system.
Well, speaking of those college tapes, John Hanna, one of the things I want to do is have him sit down with you guys and watch offensive linemen.
Yeah, because we don't know anything about offensive linemen.
So that'll be good. The second thing is I read an article by Clark Judge, I think it was, about the Patriots should be interested in Adalius Thomas.
Of course they should.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
He comes from a 3-4 system, versatile, outside. I mean, he could be a very good player here. But I'm sure the Ravens think that. I'm sure about 15 other teams think that.
Another issue I have with him is he's 30. He's 30 years old in training camp.
And we're talking about the other guys being 30.
Right. You know, Vrabel, you're saying, is at the end, and you want to give this guy, you know, $15 million on a seven-year deal or something? Well, maybe year one and two, that's okay. But if you're committing to a huge contract, you're going to have this guy for 4, 5, 6 years. So where's he going to be?
Yeah. And I was telling Andy, Fred, what you got to do with Thomas is, and I've always been a big Thomas fan ever since he was a linebacker in college. He wasn't drafted high. I was shocked. And he put on all this weight. It took him a while, but now he's at that level. But what you got to look at a guy like this is, where did his sacks come from? Because you got Trevor Price, you got Ray Lewis, you got Bart Scott, you got Ed Reed, you got all these guys, Terrell Suggs for the Ravens. Like, were majority of his sacks because other guys were being blocked and he came untouched, or was he actually doing stuff to get those sacks?
Well, it's the old Roosevelt Colvin thing.
Yeah, that's what teams are going to, because you're going to have to put a lot
of
money.
Yeah, but to a much larger degree.
Yeah.
Roosevelt Colvin, everybody said, well, he played next to Brian Urlacher. As Tom just said, there's six guys you say that about on the Ravens.
Right, right.
So I think teams are going to have to break down how he played this year and what it was a result of, because the Ravens have so many of those kind of pass rushers.
And really, for the Patriots, I want a middle guy. I want an inside guy.
I disagree with that. I would take Adalius Thomas on an even playing field.
Well,
I'll take him in a heartbeat.
If he's available, I'll take him. But, I mean, that still doesn't solve what they need to do
inside.
But
who are you talking about? Like,
I don't know
Donnie
who I'm talking
Edwards
about.
Because he's old.
He's old. Right. But I'll take him. I'll take him right now.
I have no problem signing Donnie Edwards, but it better go along with Patrick Willis and be a twofer thing.
If
they sign Donnie Edwards and Junior Seau and Teddy Bruschi, and those are your three inside linebackers to start the season,
you're in trouble.
Right.
You're running in place. You've done nothing.
You want to bring in a London Fletcher Baker, that's fine. But you have to bring some young guys in, too, to groom to replace these guys.
Good young guys, not Pierre Woods. And no disrespect to Pierre Woods, but a guy that you legitimately think has the talent to be an eight-year starter in your system after a year or so.
Right. What's Pierre Woods going to be? At best, Holly Bantakane?
Right.
And they can't wait to get rid of him.
Right.
So
they replaced him with a guy who'd never play. I mean, that's what they've tried to do with all these unsigned guys, seventh-round picks, fifth-round picks, whatever. Ryan Claridge, no. It needs to be in the first 30 guys taken in the draft.
You've got three picks that are very high. One of those has to be a linebacker. If not, there's going
to
be a lot of explaining that needs to be done, I think, by the Patriots organization.
What if the explanation is it just wasn't anybody of that value?
That's not true.
How long are you going to get by on that?
We've already looked at the linebackers coming out. There's no way that they can sit there with a straight face, look me in the eyes, and say, with those three picks, we couldn't take one linebacker.
Okay.
No way.
All right.
Plus, I don't think they could have said that in recent years. Other teams find a way to get some young linebackers in the system to make plays. There's guys out there. Just find the right guys and get them.
But even though in those years you could always say, well, they only had one for maybe. They have two first-round picks now, plus a second.
Right.
If they don't make any moves to go up, then you got to take a linebacker with one of those three picks.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We'll be breaking all that down. Coming up in Patriots.com and PFW, a lot of draft stuff coming up. Let's see. This is from Clinton. He says, I wish you guys would please give Kraft and Belichick some more credit. They are still developing a young, experienced team that will challenge for the Super Bowl for at least the next 4 to 5 years. Over the past couple of years.
Fred, can I stop you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
When did we not give Kraft and Belichick credit?
Well, you guys are all over them.
Kraft and Belichick?
Yeah.
I've never criticized Robert Kraft in my
life. We all think
that
Belichick is the best coach in football. And I don't think any of us has ever said a negative word about Mr. Kraft.
Over the last couple of years, they have decided to draft and build the offensive line and defensive line. They currently only have one starter on both units who will be over 30 years old, Stephen Neal, come opening day. Don't you believe they will plan on building the secondary in linebacking units now with that same plan? Remember, if you look at the roster, this is still a young team. I expect only Vrabel, who's 32, Neal, 31, Brady, 30, Colvin, 30, and Harrison, 35, to be on the first team roster come the start of 07. It seems like a good mix similar to the 03 and 01 teams of young and old. Even if the Pats do absolutely nothing in free agency, I and all Pats fans should be excited about next year and the next 2 to 3 years of football from this organization. I would be shocked if they let Samuel go and didn't try to sign Adalius Thomas, who's perfect for the system.
I thought he just said he didn't care if they did anything in free agency. Now he wants to give a $15 million signing bonus.
Two of them, because he assumes they're going to get
Samuel,
and they're going after Thomas.
Right. The Pats are
I got no problem if they do both those moves.
The Pats are far from dead. Jonathan Kraft believes they'll get a third-round compensatory draft pick.
Thank you.
Who said they were dead again?
giving the Pats five in the top 100 picks. With their history in the draft, they should pull 3 to 4 starters out of this year's draft. And then he goes down the list of all the great draft picks that they've had.
Well, first, I don't think you can say they're going to pull 3 to 4 starters out of this year's draft because you don't know how any draft's going to go. Look at last year's draft. What if Chad Jackson never starts? You know, what if
Dave Thomas never starts? He had one good game. Starts.
Is that a good draft? No. I mean, what if Maroney is not better than Joseph Addai, Maurice Jones-Drew, or Jarius Norwood? Is that a good draft? No, it's not.
Right.
So I don't think you can look at that.
You have to wait to judge drafts.
And as far as the free agent, first of all, none of us, all we're saying is they're getting old at linebacker. That's a fact. And safety. Those are facts that everybody agrees with. And we say that at some point you got to address that.
And no one said they're going to fall off face the earth. All we said is this is a very important offseason, in part because of the needs, but also in part because with 2 first-round picks and $30 million, you have the tools to do some things. The decisions you make with those picks and that money are going to affect you for the next 5 years.
Right. Absolutely.
And you can't say, well, if they don't do anything in free agency, that'll be fine. No, maybe not, because if they lose Graham and Samuel and don't bring anyone in, that's a bad offseason.
Right.
Yep. Again, you know, Sawyer from Waterloo, I think he's just confused here. He says somebody last week was saying that the Caldwell drop was on the 10 and he was going to walk into the end zone, and you guys said he was on the 30. I look back on the DVD. It was 1st and 15 on the 18.5. When he dropped it, Bethea was about 5 yards from him. 94 was 10 yards away and shedding his blocker, and Sanders was open to close in and tackle him before reaching the goal line. Where the emailer may have been confused is the play before that. We were on the 13.5, and Brady completed a pass to Troy at the 6, but Gaffney had no idea where he was supposed to be and was called for an illegal shift. Okay. I mean, 18.5 sounds right.
Yeah,
you know,
somewhere in there.
I knew there was, you know, but
I thought he was around the 20-25 yard line.
What I've seen, and I've watched it too, I just thought that the Colts were closing fast.
They were.
I thought
he's not. He's going
to
have to make a heck
that
of a
he
move.
Would have a first down, but I didn't think he'd come close to getting.
And oh, by the way,
run.
Rishay Caldwell is the guy that every other catch this season went down. The first guy
exactly.
got near him.
He doesn't make big plays
and avoid tackles.
Nor does Gaffney. You know.
I think Gaffney's a little bit more so than
more elusive
than Caldwell.
But both of them, you didn't see a lot of yards after.
It wasn't a surefire touchdown. It wasn't, in my mind, a surefire first down. It could have been a first down, but. It just wasn't the automatic that fans make it out to be.
18.5 yards, that probably what it was. Yeah,
sounds right.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. Hey, guys, what a proud moment to see our lone Patriot get a false start penalty that was in the Pro Bowl.
Light get a false start?
Yeah, he did.
Did he get beat by anybody?
I didn't watch
that. Oh, by the way, I just laughed because the portion I watched, the AFC defense was cheating. They were not following the rules that are put in place for the Pro Bowl. There's a shock. Bill Belichick throwing out some questionable tactics.
Didn't Ed Reed blitz?
Yeah. Bill was doing some questionable stuff out there.
Well, it's not a blitz if it's only 4 guys rushing, right?
Well, there's a lot of rules in the Pro Bowl.
Four guys and Ed Reed.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of rules, and it sounds like the AFC was kind of pushing the envelope.
I only watched about 15 minutes of the Pro Bowl, and I was blessed with that play. I saw the highlights later and couldn't believe the play calling. The Pro Bowl has gotten to be a joke, and I don't know why any athlete or team would want to risk the possible injury. Just think of the repercussions if Drew Brees dislocates his throwing elbow instead of non-throwing elbow. Then you have coaches calling a fake punt on 4th and 7 when the punter is from a rival team in your division and nearly gets himself killed.
Coaches?
I know they're trying to have a good time, but what the hell? I know it's supposed to be an honor, but I think it is time for the Pro Bowl to stop. Can't they just send them a check and tell them to stay home? I'm glad Tom was golfing.
Well, I agree with that. If they want to make them all like a Pro Bowler or not, I'm fine without a game.
But they should do something.
Could.
They should send them to Hawaii and
do
something.
Some skills
because
things,
a lot of the,
you know,
the first-timers, that's what they like. They don't want to go to the game. They want to go because they're rubbing shoulders with Ed Reed and Tom Brady and these
family.
Guys. Right. Yeah. There should be something, but the and. It doesn't even sell out. You look, it's empty stands.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The ratings
no
can't be
that
good.
It's terrible.
The only thing you got from watching that game is if you're a Cowboy fan, you say, Tony Romo's not very good. That's the only thing I got from watching that game.
No. He specifically underthrew the deep ball.
Yeah.
I'm an advocate for that. No. The only All-Star game they should probably play is baseball.
Well, the NBA one the is NBA the best one.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
Because they're just running up and down the court.
I know you don't watch it, Fred, but it's the most popular one. Right. It draws the most stars. It's great to watch. Yeah. Fans love it.
And in basketball,
you can play
pickup
basketball.
Right,
yeah,
that's what I mean.
What it is.
You can't play pickup 11-11 football.
People don't mind if you watch one game without defense in basketball. That's why I don't think like that that playground ball, what is it on ESPN, the street ball
thing. Street ball, yeah.
I think people won't like that over a long haul, because if you don't play defense ever, it gets boring.
Right.
But watching one game where they're throwing alley-oops and stuff, that's fun.
Yeah.
I was in Hawaii with 10 guys
Shocking.
With tickets to the game in walking distance, and we all blew it off.
You were in Hawaii for the Pro Bowl?
Not for the Pro Bowl.
Oh.
Just happened
there.
To be there.
No, but this weekend. You were in Hawaii?
No, not just
Oh, okay.
Last year.
He was in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we just walked by, gave him to some little kid.
Yeah, who needs that game? You don't.
NFL, no, but you still want you need to have something.
No, yeah, you have to reward him. Send him to Hawaii.
But whoever the coach is for the Chargers, if I was him and I saw LT get a carry in that game, my heart would be in my throat just thinking, oh, my God, please don't get hurt.
I got to tell you, me as a player, if I would go, and then on Friday, hamstring's feeling a little tight. Yeah. I don't think I can go this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you see the guy from the Raiders? They wanted him last minute.
The guy from the Raiders?
The cornerback. Adam Ajamajaba. Who got hurt? One of the corners got hurt for the AFC, and they called him, and he was all jacked up. But they literally couldn't get him a flight. It was like Friday night, and there was not a flight that would get him there in time for the game.
Uh-huh.
So he couldn't go.
That sucks.
That's too bad.
Ryan is...
Which Patriots fans will spin as, wait a minute, they didn't call Samuel even after guys are getting hurt?
Ryan is from Arlington, Virginia. Everyone acknowledges that the franchise tag has been misapplied from its original intent, and that the transition tag is the redheaded stepchild of the franchise tag. A team can only do one franchise or one print transition tag per year. Players hate the franchise tag, and it poisons relations with their team. So I would propose the following swap. Get rid of the franchise tag entirely. Replace it with two transition tags per team per year.
That's how it is already, just so you know.
Same rules as now would apply for right of first refusal, etc. If this were in place now, the Pats would slap one transition tag on Samuel and one on Graham.
You can stop reading at any time because it is in place. You can choose to use two transitions, one of which is in place of your franchise.
Uh-huh.
So you can transition two players in any one year.
Okay, there you go. So that's I didn't know that fact.
Yes, I didn't either until I was looking at the new CBA. You can use two transition tags as long as you haven't used up your franchise tag for that year.
Steven writes in.
Or you could pay him.
Or you could pay him.
You could pay him. Well.
But the transition tag doesn't, and there's a couple issues with the transition tag, one of which we saw last year, which is the whole poison pill scenario, which you can never get rid of. Because no matter what rule you make, there'll always be a loophole where you can find to make a contract unsignable.
It also goes both ways because you got to pay out the nose, and was Nate Burleson worth it?
Right.
I mean, Steve Hutchinson was worth it, obviously, but was Nate Burleson worth it? So still, you're still gambling when you do that.
Hindsight for them, terrible. Because then a little while later, you're going out and trading for Deion Branch.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
I got to be honest with you. If you're looking for a team that's due some hard times soon, it's going to be Seattle.
It's got to be them. Because every year, they sign Walter Jones.
Big money.
Yeah, they gave Tom Ashrapel, like Walter Jones, Sean Alexander, Matt Hasselbeck, Nate Burleson, Deion Branch. All these big money
hurting.
How are they paying for all this?
Well,
unless they start
Tom
cutting
Ashworth
some.
On the team. That's all I need to know.
That they're going to win a Super Bowl?
See, Fred, the problem is with your wording. I think had Tom Ashworth on the team is going to be correct in about 2 months.
You know who's laughing most in that one?
Tom Ashworth,
all the way to the frickin' bank. I remember when I called him right after, and he was like, yeah, I couldn't believe the money they gave me.
That was like in Jerry Maguire where they send the fax and they're all disappointed. Ashworth probably grabbed his heart.
Right.
He couldn't get a pen fast enough to sign that deal.
Is this a zero?
He couldn't sign that thing fast enough. And he was even singing the tunes. That's when I said something about, yeah, it rains a lot out there. Well, actually, did you know it doesn't even rain as much here as it does in New England or something?
Well, the actual rainfall is more in New England because when it does rain.
It rains.
But it's always raining.
It's always raining.
He was already singing the tunes, though, and, you know, spinning it. PR, Seattle PR.
Let's see. Steven writes in. He says he loves the PFW podcast, listens to each show on his commute. So much better than the options on the radio.
Obviously.
I think that 2007 is the single best year in the history of the NFL to use the franchise tag. As I understand it, teams can designate one player, the franchise player, by extending an offer equal to the average of the top five salaries. Well, we'd all know that. And it is true that because of the franchise numbers haven't caught up to the cap yet. So if you're going to use the franchise, this is a good year.
Yeah, I agree.
If the Pats don't use the franchise tag on Asante Samuel, something is wrong. The relevant question for the Patriots and most other teams, sorry Redskins, is how to spend the rest of their available cap space if they lose their top free agents. A quick question.
Just a quick interjection here, just to say, sorry, Redskins, they're actually going after Nate Clements. So,
of course they are.
So, well, that's what the thing I say with the fans don't understand the salary cap, because I don't understand it, and I work for the NFL. Somehow, some way, the Redskins are over the salary cap, and they're going to sign one of the top two free agents on the market. Yeah. So, there you go.
A quick question for you guys who have read the CBA closely.
That's Andy.
Who would that be? When you assign the tag.
I've read it, but when I'm finished.
Andy's the CBA guy.
Well, I don't even get it. It's all that legalese confused. It always says, you know, in the previous sentence, point A.
Well,
that's how I feel.
Geez, you're right. Gary takes the off season off. Thanks a lot, Gary. You're doing a heck of a job.
When you assign the tag and then negotiate a long-term contract with a franchise player, do you lose the ability to use the franchise tag during the period of that contract?
No. There are certain dates, yes, but no. It's you have between
that year you do, right?
Not even necessary. It depends on when you sign him. Once you tag him, there's a window to sign him and not lose the tag for the life of the deal. Then there's a point, I don't know if it's April or May, then there's like a two-month window where if you signed him, you'd lose it for the life of the deal. All you do, even if you negotiate a deal in that span, is you wait till June or July when it runs out and then officially sign the deal and announce it. So, not really.
P.S. says, Steve, make sure you give Fred something to do while you discuss these complicated issues.
Early favorite for email of the day.
Jerk. Let's
I'm surprised you haven't read it, Mr. Europa is the fourth moon of Jupiter.
What's that?
The CBA. And
I looked it over when I first got it, but not the new one. You know, actually, as legal contracts go, it's written fairly clearly. It's just a lot of things that are
a lot of
caveats and stuff that you have to know, a lot of loopholes. You can tell that they drafted this thing, then everyone got their claws in it, and they started.
It even shows they have to start over. Some of it, it'll be like, you know, JK and L, but L will say omitted.
Right.
It's something they had that they decided to remove. That's what gets me, too, though, is like it's point one, then like Roman numeral one, then lowercase a, and you're going down and you get confused which part of the outline you're still on. And
it can be complicated because of all the caveats and ifs and thens. Because
there was one thing I read in there, and I haven't been able to check on this yet. I think it says if you franchise a guy 3 years in a row, that he no longer can negotiate the third year. There was like this weird caveat the third time around. And I'm wondering, because I'm pretty sure a lot of the other, like Walter Jones, I think it was 2 years in a row. I don't think he reached third.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there is the third year kind of changes.
I mean, and it's because of that these capologists are so valuable. I mean, you know.
But it's also because of that some guys get screwed. I mean, we've had, what was it, Kevin Johnson, a couple other guys, they missed a certain deadline for a certain thing that their agent didn't file. Dennis Northcutt, right. I mean, even agents who are supposed to know, right, and T.O., who are supposed to know what's going on, don't always know what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. Let's see. You know, it's a competitive advantage to have somebody who knows that thing inside and out.
Right.
No
question.
Really is. Nick in San Diego.
Which is why the Bills are in trouble.
He says, Brad Seeley kills division rival punter. Hmm. First things first, I didn't watch all of it, but I got to see a little of the Pro Bowl, and it was great to see Bill laughing and smiling and joking around. Good for him.
I saw him pacing the sideline looking for somebody to kill half the time.
It also occurred to me when Andy, I think it was you, was talking about how the Eagles spent big money in free agency over the years. I thought about it, and almost all of those big money contracts were guys who played in the three Pro Bowls that Reed coached. So here comes Thomas. I know he's a good player, but he'll turn 30 before the season starts. Do we really want to lay down big money on a guy that old? I know he's faster, but we were trying to go younger, right? I know he didn't have a good year last year, and you mentioned him in the latest PFW, but could you talk about Napoleon Harris? Was he hurt last year? He missed several games. Wouldn't he be worth a chance since he probably won't cost a lot?
Yeah, he's. I looked at him when I was doing that PFW piece. He's a guy that you expected a lot out of coming out of college, and he's never really done it.
Right.
You know, you look at his numbers. You look at him like when we were there for the Minnesota game. I was watching him a little bit. He just doesn't do it on the field. I mean, maybe a change of scenery. He's big. He's got size. He supposedly has speed. I don't know about that. But he's one of those bigger run-stuffing guys.
And you don't know what happens if you get him with a Mike Vrabel on one side and it behind Richard Seymour and sort of in a good system.
I would say this. I would probably take a chance on him over Mitchell from Kansas City for a couple of reasons. One, it took Mitchell about 5 years to even show any glimpses of being able to play the game, and I don't know if that means he's peaking or if it just happened to be a coincidence. And two, I'm about sick and tired of taking Kansas City defensive players.
Yeah.
So if they brought in that Harris, I think that wouldn't be a bad move. Big, use him in the inside. You know, he can play. He's shown some ability to play. Maybe Belichick can get more out of him. And I think that's what they look at when they look at these kinds of guys, because we all know Belichick, like myself, thinks Lloyd Carr is a terrible coach at the University of Michigan. He's hinted at it many a times. And I think what he does is he looks at these guys and says, why weren't they productive? Was it them or was it their situation?
Right.
And if it was the situation, they're willing to take a chance on them.
Let's see. Nick also says, Rod Hood, at worst, he's a starting nickelback. How much would he cost? I still think we have to tag Asante and hopefully keep him, but we definitely could use another starting caliber cornerback. Rod Hood.
Well, here's the problem with Rod Hood. You're not going to get him cheap, and I'll tell you why. Because after Samuel Clements and like Nick Harper, he's like next in line. And there's a lot of people who believe he can make the Al Harris move from corner, nickel corner to starting corner. So really, it looks like on paper he'd be a cheap option. But when you look at the cornerbacks available, someone's probably going to overpay for him.
I would love to see Ken Hamlin get signed. I think he would be a great player, but I think he will probably get enough bidders that he wouldn't warrant a priority.
I'm intrigued by the idea of a Ken Hamlin or maybe
like
a Mike
Ken
Doss, a guy who I think. Both guys, I think, have a lot of talent, have had some injury issues. You might be able to get at a lesser price and get them to outperform the contract, and we know that's the Patriot way, is try to find a guy on the cheap who can be better. I'm intrigued by those two guys.
Why do you
and
say
to
it
see
so sarcastically?
Well, it's the Patriots way.
But it's a good way.
It
served
works.
Them well.
It's a good way when it's Roman Pfeiffer. It's a bad way when it's Monty Beisel.
Well, okay. But, you know,
but in terms of Hamlin, he was on his way to being a Pro Bowl player before that off-the-field stuff happened. So if you take a look at him, like bring him in for a physical, talk with him, and everything's all set, I mean, there's a chance he goes back to being that Pro Bowl caliber type player. And that would be a good – I mean, he's a guy that lays the lumber. He can be that new Rodney Harrison for you in the secondary. And I think if you look at all Belichick's great defenses, they always had that guy. He might have not been a big-name guy, but the guy, like even at corner, Collins for the Giants, Mark Collins, he'd light you up. You know what I mean? They always had that guy that made you fearful from going over the middle, and I think they have to get back to that.
Last one, I don't know how many Florida wide receivers you could put on one team, but I think Travis Taylor could be a nice addition to our wide receivers. He's not a burner, but he's a big possession guy. I don't know if he blocks, but he can't possibly cost that much.
Not interested.
P.S., I looked at the preseason picks. Tom, Tampa? Really? What made you think that?
I don't know. It was a preseason pick. I got most of the playoff teams. You forgot to mention that.
All right, Gary, let's take a break. It's 1 o'clock. We'll be back after the hour with more PFW in progress.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this.
It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. This is PFW in Progress.
This is Mr. Hadley, he's Captain of the Guards. I'm Mr. Norton, the Warden. You are convicted felons.
PFW in Progress.
Rule number one, no blasphemy. I'll not have the Lord's name taken in vain in my prison. The other rules, you'll figure out as you go along. Any questions?
When do we eat?
With Fred Kirsch.
Treasure Island, Robert Lewis.
Stevenson.
What's next?
Count Monte Crisco.
That's Crisco, you dumb sh**.
Who's this agent? Ben Dofa?
Or? No, Gary Uberstein.
Who am I thinking of?
Alexandre Dumas. Dumas.
Dumas.
Paul Perillo.
I'd only ask three beers apiece for each of my co-workers. I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
Young punk. Mr. Rock and Roll. Cocky as hell.
Hey, come on, old boys. Move it like molasses. Making me look bad.
We liked him immediately.
Andy Hart.
Andy crawled to freedom through 500 yards of smelling foulness I can't even imagine.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth,
some guy named Tom.
What the crisis is, happy horse.
You think the Lord's name in vain, I'm telling him what.
You'll be telling him about the tonic, your ass. What is your malfunction, you fat barrel of monkey spunk?
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Lord, it's a miracle.
Nothing left but that cupcake on the wall. Let's ask her. Maybe she knows. What's saying there, fussy britches? Do you like talking?
PFW in Progress.
I believe in two things, discipline and the Bible. Here you'll receive both. Put your trust in the Lord. Your ass belongs to me.
All right. For the next hour, you guys belong to us. Fred, Tom, and Andy. Gary behind the booth. Paul in Florida.
Yep.
Soaking up the rays. He's going to come back looking like a lobster, you think? You know? He doesn't get that deep Italian tan because he's light-skinned.
Oh, but he gets the bad burn up top on the bald head.
He'll come back with the farmer's tan, you know.
I'm sure he's got that lame Northeastern hat on right now covering the bald spot.
Probably looks like Whitey
Bulger. I think they play tonight, so he'll actually be at home listening on his computer. Yeah, he'll be in Florida on the internet listening to a Northeastern basketball game.
Is his brother with him? Is Rich down there, too?
I don't think
so. Is this
so.
Like a whole big family reunion thing?
I don't think so.
No?
I think it's just his family.
Okay.
Wonder if they're hitting Disney.
I guess you're in Orlando. You might as well, right?
But Will's only
small.
Like
yeah,
two
it's
or
a
something.
Waste.
Yeah.
Yeah, little kids. Well, I don't understand these people. They bring babies to Disney
it.
World.
I don't get it. Theme at parks all, are a waste in general. All those.
Oh, not Disney World.
Waste.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Waste.
You don't know what you waste. Sound like Tom now.
Waste.
You know.
Would you be shocked if I told you I agree with him?
You pay you pay $75 to do nothing.
But
wait
I agree
in line.
With you, Fred. I wouldn't. I don't have issues if you have kids and you bring them to Disney World. That's different than just going to your everyday run of the mill.
My right. kid's not going.
But as an adult,
like
you would never go there with your wife or something.
Like Disney World?
Yeah.
Not really.
See, you don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe it's Fred. The last time I was there was 25 years ago. So maybe it's a lot different now. I would imagine.
Yeah, it's a great place. It's awesome.
I've never been, and I have no desire to go.
Disney World, I'll give that a buy. But the things like Six Flags, no way. You
yeah,
can't
I'm not
anywhere
into that,
near
that,
that
much either. Just the straight ride.
Yeah.
See, I'd rather just go to the Disney, like, don't they have, like, the whole, like, restaurants and
yeah.
that part I'm interested
well,
in.
Well, there's everything.
But waiting in line to go on some
no,
water
they have
luge,
now, if
no
you
interest.
Stay in the park, you get an express pass. You go, you get your ticket.
For $6,000
no,
a day
no,
or something.
No, shut up. Then it tells you, come back at 1 o'clock, you go right by the line, bang.
I also don't like rides at all.
Don't like rides.
I don't either. Do the whole ride thing.
They've got this Aerosmith roller coaster that's unbelievable.
I wouldn't go on a roller coaster.
Hey, boss.
If he gave me $1 million.
I went on one, and I'll never go on another.
Why'd you throw up?
No, I just didn't feel good. I didn't like it.
I've been on none, and I won't go on another.
I was doing loop-de-loops upside down and backwards. No thanks.
Little Andy. Poor Andy.
My kids
All right.
won't want to go either because I'll make sure they don't want to go.
Let's go back to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. In case you want to call, 508-543-7482.
In case you want to send food, you're late. You could have done it at the beginning.
It's bad weather up here at Gillette Stadium, but we came to work anyway. The devoted employees that we are, right?
It's true.
All right. Let's see. Jakinson writes in, what's up? What do you think about LeVar Arrington's situation? Do you think he could be a Patriot target this offseason? Or do you think he'll still be in he will still be in high demand and demand a high price after being cut?
Depends on his injuries. Yeah, it's hard for me to say anything about him now like I did last year because I don't know what his injury status is. It was an Achilles, right, Andy?
Yeah.
The Achilles. I mean, he had a knee. So what kind of player is he?
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's all.
Two
that's
major injuries.
That's something only Belichick and Pioli and those guys will be able to know because we just don't know what kind of physical health he's in.
But he also still have the other issues you need to work past. If you know, there's still a lot of people.
Is he more of a 4-3 guy? Or
well, I think he could play both. I don't think that's the issue. The question is whether he's an anything guy except LeVar Arrington's guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's some question. He has a reputation as a freelancer and just sort of doing what he wants, and now there's some talk that he doesn't even really rehab all that hard.
Yeah.
So there's other issues there at play if you're looking. Now, if he has bottomed out and he's a veteran minimum, I'll take him in a heartbeat. You know, low
Dana
money.
Stubblefield.
But if he still thinks, and I personally still think he can get money out there
is
with
Dana
the amount of money.
Is Stubblefield still a Patriot? I think he's still on the contract. Isn't he?
He's still at the podium.
Yeah. That was odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Tom for president, says Adam.
Adam's an idiot, says Andy.
He's also from Minnesota. He says, I have a question. If face guarding isn't an official rule in the NFL, why is it still called? Well, it's
it
not.
Isn't.
They didn't call face guarding.
No.
Phil Simms said it was face guarding.
Right.
The officials never said it was face
right.
guarding.
It's not called. And can they call it if any contact is made before the pass is knocked down?
If there's contact, it's pass interference.
Right. It's not face
guarding. Forget face guarding. Just
you
keep your head.
You can wave your hand in front
pass
as long as you don't make contact. As soon as you make contact,
right.
it's pass interference.
It would be the same thing if you were looking towards the ball and made contact. It would still be pass interference.
Right.
Let's see. PJ says he has a free agent wish list. Trying to get players in areas that the Pats need help, as well as trying to be realistic and stay near the money the Pats can spend under the cap. Although, like you guys have said before, nobody really knows how much that is. I want one big star, Adalius Thomas. He's a stud, enough said. Plus, he's a heck of a special teamer, right, Fred? I also want...
That was Andy.
I also want to grab a corner.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, that wasn't me. I also want to grab
Fred
a corner.
Fred doesn't know who Adalius Thomas
he
is
He used to
still.
Play special
yes.
teams.
That was my argument. He was a Pro Bowler. I was right in what I said. It just wasn't the whole picture.
I also
I
want
ripped
to...
off a corner of the picture.
I also want to grab a corner and a safety. Here, I will have to go to my Philly connections and grab Rod Hood and Mike Lewis. Hood is a prototypical Pat signee. He's a starting corner in this league, but hasn't done it yet, so he won't get great money. Mike Lewis needs to stop getting beat down the middle, but he's very athletic and is versatile. There was talk of Jim Johnson moving him to linebacker during the season, which is perfect in the Pat system. He's also a former Pro Bowl safety coming off a season where he was benched, so he won't cost that much.
See, even the fans try to play the little game.
But, and I still think the won't cost that much. Like I said, Hood's going to be – a lot of teams are going to be interested in Hood because they think he can be a starter.
Right.
Now, Lewis, I'm not sure, but like he said, he's a Pro Bowl safety. So that's, again, you're looking at the situation. What went wrong there, and can he fit here? Now, my guess is at least four or five teams answer yes to that question
right.
and are willing to pay him some money to do so.
And just a side note, don't both those players go by Michael Lewis and Roderick Hood?
Yeah.
Fred's is that how he wrote them, Rod and Mike?
I think that you should be able to call him that.
I think it's.
I think Mike and Michael is different.
We don't call you Andrew
because he doesn't.
I go by Andy.
That's right.
We've already gotten to this before. Forget it.
John Kraft owns this. John and Bob Kraft own this team. Apparently, that's okay in Fred's book. Hopefully, it's okay with them.
TG and NJ says listener Russell last week made a good point about Brady working on throwing on the run during the offseason. Manning mentioned he did it, and we all saw the results. As far as the super skanks distracting him. Well, if Manning can whore himself out to every commercial product that comes along and still find time to learn to throw on the run, then Brady can do it.
But don't you think that's different? Manning takes a day out of his life to shoot a commercial. If you're hanging out with Giselle, that's a lot of time. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying
right.
he shouldn't date him. I'm just saying, is it taking too much time away when you constantly live this kind of
yeah,
life?
Yeah, but he doesn't miss any mini camps.
I'm not saying he does, but is he working throwing the ball on the run like that person suggested?
Right now, I think you should take some time off. And you know,
yeah, well, I'm not saying he can't take time off, but I'm just wondering if hanging out with models over and over again, how much
know.
That runs your ragged.
That's not the guy I worry about working
I'm not with. Really worried about him.
It's not a worry, but I agree with Tom. There's
I like your boobs.
Peyton Manning, who by all accounts is married to his wife, he's all football, so she has to lay his clothes out for him. He's in bed at 9 o'clock at night at home with the
That's
kids or whatever.
That's what I'm talking about.
Tom Brady's at midnight is at some club in New
Doing
York.
Doing shots with Felger.
And, yeah, I mean, there's a difference there. There's a lifestyle difference. You don't think there's a difference?
There's definitely a difference.
And I'm not trying to say it has hurt
but
him.
But I think we read a couple things in the inside track and we think that that's all the time.
No,
it's not.
Fred, you know that I think Brady's the best player in the NFL. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, you know, it's human nature. He still works hard, but he has three Super Bowl rings, you know. I'm just saying I would like it if he found a nice girl, settled down.
Right.
I'm like an old grandmother. I want him to settle down with a nice girl and, you know, just focus on football.
He's getting a little older. Maybe that stuff worked when he was 26. As you move towards 30, maybe.
So is Viagra.
Where's,
it'll work.
No, that I'm sure still works.
Okay.
That's a different topic. But as you get 30, well, I'm assuming he wouldn't be banging Giselle if stuff didn't work.
Whoa. All right.
And now he's selling. What's he? He's wheeling and dealing $14 million condos in New York. And I'm just saying, maybe when he shows up for a workout at 7 a.m. after drinking till 2 a.m., he's working out, yes, but maybe he doesn't quite have the energy, the recovery. You know, you never know.
Well, you know, TG says, you know, the difference, of course, instead of pushing somebody else's product, Brady would be pushing his own, if you know what I mean. You know, man,
yeah,
he pushes
just,
other people's
I just
product.
Think doing commercials is a little different. Like he said, I would just prefer once a guy starts getting older, like Brady is, maybe not this year, but in the next couple of years, he settles down a little bit, you know, starts a family. That way he can just focus on football. You know what I'm saying, Fred?
Yeah. Okay, so the players don't like to be franchised, but can a player like Asante understand why a team has to do it? Do the players all think that the team is out to screw them? I understand
yes.
that a player like Asante has to get himself paid, but do the players understand that the team has to provide for an entire roster?
Yes.
It's all business now. A player shouldn't be getting upset when management makes moves that it feels benefit the entire team rather than an individual player. Can you guys please explain what in the wild, wild world of sports is going on in San Diego?
No.
Well, since you used a Blazing Saddles reference.
Gary, you're supposed to insert the San Diego soundbite.
I didn't know if you were going to read that line or not, Fred.
Well,
go.
I read it. All right. Anyway.
Well, since
no,
he's
he requested I thought you'd ask
since
for it.
He's using references from Blazing Saddles, we'll say that Asante Samuel could care less about anyone else on the team right now. Right now, it's all about him. And this is the way I'm sure everybody negotiates. When your time comes, you're not thinking, well, we need help at linebacker. You're thinking, how much money can I get? And if he's not thinking it, his agent's making sure he's thinking it.
Right.
So, and no one knows what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on in San Diego, so.
Let's see, Philip from Nova Scotia. Looking back on the season, how would you guys grade Maroney's rookie season? It seems that he did not live up to some of the hype, but neither did he disappoint. Considering the system in which he played and the threat that he created on the field, I would have to put him as an above-average rookie running back. I'm not basing this on stats, just what I have observed as a fan. My opinion does flip-flop quite a bit, though, because his performance seemed difficult to judge this last year. Perhaps seeing him live makes a difference. Should I expect big things from him next year, or should I be cautiously optimistic? In a side topic, I heard a rumor that Mr. Kraft is planning to build a Patriots-themed hotel near the stadium. Is there any truth to this? If so, perhaps he could add an Andy Hart room with an island theme and extra-large pillows.
I'd give Maroney a B.
Yeah, I'd give him a B.
I was going to say B-minus B.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, the injury kind of hurt him.
You know, I hear the inconsistencies, but, you know, as I said that Tony Dorsett said during his rookie year, he only gets 12 carries a game. How do you know by carry number 20 he doesn't have 160 yards? See, that's the next step that we'll have to see if he can make, is getting the 20 carries. And I believe we'll see that next year.
And I think you should be excited. If I'm a Patriots fan, based on just what I saw, the way
he showed
put
enough
it,
flashes.
No question. There is the potential there to see great things, and that should have you excited.
Yep. As far as the hotel rumor, it is true that there is going to be a hotel built in the property. It won't be a Patriots-themed hotel. I think it's going to be a Marriott or something like that. But there is going to be a...
You might not want to throw the name out there if you don't know.
Well, it's going to be like one of those name franchises. But there is going to be a hotel built adjacent to Gillette Stadium.
Can we stay there? Do we get free rooms like on draft night if we need to stay overnight?
Maybe, perhaps.
Why are we staying overnight on draft night?
Well, you live close, but some of us live far away. On draft night, when we're here till 11, we got to be back by 9 the next morning.
11.
Sometimes we're here till 5 in the morning. He's worried about 11?
Yeah, but I don't have to usually come back.
That's the night that I would like to stay.
You live 10 minutes away, too.
It's still too long. Let's see.
I thought they were going to be starting construction, by the way.
They have.
I thought they were knocking down out by the pro shop and stuff.
No, that's not until the spring, I don't think.
It's winter. What do you want them to do?
Yeah.
No, you saw the Bass Pro truck out there, right?
Yeah, so it's
coming soon.
Yeah, they parked a truck. They didn't do anything.
No, but they're leveling that ground. What they actually had to do was raise the ground behind it because Bass Pro wanted to be seen from Route 1 better. So they're actually raising up the land so that they can build on top of it.
So when is something going to be done and opened?
The first thing that will be open is that Bass Pro Store, which should be...
Which excites me
this summer.
To no end.
This summer?
Yeah.
So once they
get the land,
what do they have, Fred? What do they have?
It's just a big box.
What do they have? Like sleeping bags and like...
Bass Pro? Well, they got everything.
Yeah, they have everything.
When you say everything, what do you mean?
Well,
anything
for
you
that,
can
outdoors.
Think of outdoors.
What if you hate hunting, fishing, camping, and everything else?
Don't go in it.
They have a lot of clothing.
Yeah, if you were just going to buy like outdoorsy
clothing.
There's a restaurant
there, a real.
But there's also like
restaurant.
Fly fishing tanks where
everything.
You can do like interactive stuff.
It's like a museum.
It's Fred's heaven. He's going to be there.
I'll be there every lunch.
When you say where's Fred, you might want to try Bass Pro Shops.
I was just thinking if it's really packed and you bomb that place, it would probably be a better world.
We do need to clean
Matt
it up.
Matt Light will be there a lot. He's into that stuff.
Pro Bowl left tackle Matt Light.
Yeah.
Never take that away from him. I find it hard to believe, but forever he is a Pro Bowl left tackle.
Matt from Ames, Iowa. A couple weeks ago,
big in Iowa.
Yeah, Ames, Iowa.
I sent in an email about how Tom said he liked Buster Davis, and then Tom proceeded to deny that he ever liked Buster Davis. However, in week before the game versus the Chargers, Tom said this quote: "If your name is Buster and you play at Florida State, you got to be good." And that's a direct quote. The other guys agreed with Tom. Now I understand that it was before you had the chance to really look at any of the players, and you might have changed your views afterwards in Buster's case, but don't deny things when anyone can check the records.
First of all, that
look
was a joke.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Second of all, we haven't made any definitive analysis
on anybody. I never
said
I didn't like Buster Davis. I said I don't really have an opinion on him yet because sometimes I like him and sometimes I don't when I just watch him on TV. So we don't have any stuff yet. We have no information.
Well, you'll like this. Tom still brings the most to the show, but I couldn't let him get away with this.
But I don't dislike Buster Davis. I think that's the part where...
But he might. When he's done evaluating, he might dislike.
On to the Patriots. Is there any way they can sign Thomas? That guy is simply a playmaker, and we need someone of his talent that would solidify the middle for years to come.
How many years to come?
Assuming he would play inside linebacker, but I guess he was an outside linebacker.
Yeah, I don't think he'll play inside.
Thanks for all your great coverage. You truly are the A-team and Andy. P.S. The Life Aquatic wanted to make my eyes bleed when I was watching it. Well, I'm not saying it's a movie for everyone. I like it.
Or apparently many people.
It's a quirky movie. You know, if you like movies like The Royal Tenenbaums and things like that, you might like that movie. So you should watch it.
I will someday.
Well, it's on demand. You can
Is
get it?
It?
Yeah. It's all always right. on. You can get it. I think it's free.
Oh, all right.
It's probably about an hour and 45 minutes. You can never get back, though.
Yeah, so Gary thinks it's boring. Meanwhile, he listens to one thing and hits the boring button.
Fred, it wouldn't have made any sense if I played that soundbite without you prefacing it.
And I love how he gets mad every time he says something.
He's taking a beating today. He's not happy.
But he still has the mic out. The telltale is when he pushes the mic away and just gives up on us completely.
How much chew do you have in your mouth? You look like a squirrel.
That's a good half a can right there.
Jeez.
It's okay. He's got about 20 more in that little fridge over there.
Is that right? You got to keep your chew refrigerated?
I did, yeah. I put it in the freezer.
Yeah. Let's see. Josh is in Chattanooga. And by the way, I was speaking with John Hanna yesterday. He gave me the whole layout of how Alabama works and Tennessee and all the mountains and where everything is. It's pretty interesting. Anyway.
Remind me to tell you guys I have a little Hanna story to tell off the air.
Okay. I'm loving the show on Thursdays at work and the draft preview and the roster reports. Do you really think the Pats would take that running back out of Rutgers you were talking about, even if he is available? You were talking about how drafting another wide receiver might lower the morale of Chad Jackson. Why wouldn't another early round running back lower the morale of Maroney?
No, we didn't say lower the morale. From a coaching perspective and a development perspective, I think if you go out and use your first round pick on Dwayne Bowe, and that's what he's talking about. I don't know if you heard this, Fred. Yesterday on the podcast,
okay,
we did a little bit of an early mock for the first three Patriots picks, the two first-rounders and the second. And, we each picked our guys. One of B-Lowe's was at 24, Dwayne Bowe, wide receiver, LSU. And I said, is that sort of an admission that Chad Jackson is not, you know, the number one, the franchise receiver of the future? Because in my eyes, that's how you can read it. If they go out and use their top pick with the needs at linebacker and safety and everything else on a receiver, it sort of tells me, well, you don't feel so good about Chad Jackson evolving into a great player. You know, I don't care how Chad Jackson feels about it. It's what you're saying about what you think Chad Jackson can be.
Right.
Yeah, then to go on with Brian Leonard, you need more. Your running backs, other than Maroney, what do you have?
Right.
You have an older guy catching the ball out of the backfield in Falk. You have Dylan, who's darn near the end of his career, and you have Heath Evans. And Leonard isn't a Maroney. He's not going to carry the ball 25 times a game. He's going to catch it. He's going to block. He can play some receiver for you. He's going to play on special teams. So you're looking at a totally different player. It's not going to be there to replace Maroney.
And just so you know, Tom, I threw that out there to see if we can get that ball rolling, the Leonard to the Patriots. I was talking to the guy from Mel Kiper's company or whatever Mel Kiper, as I said. I really think they love Brian Leonard. We're looking second round as he's a legitimate possibility. I want to see if that pops up anywhere from Mel Kiper. I love it when we start things
we'll
here.
Talk to Mayock about him, too.
We have to come up with our annual...
rumor?
Our annual guy that doesn't exist and just start talking about him. Don't we do that? Didn't we do that in the past?
We didn't do it last year because I was here and I don't remember it.
I don't think we make anybody up.
Didn't we make up a guy's name and it
Some
showed up
Some people would
in a couple
say it was
places?
Oliver Hoyt.
No.
Either that or we took some guy that wasn't that good,
Fred,
and all of a sudden it started appearing in places.
But, Fred, speaking of that, we look back at our notes on Oliver Hoyt from the Combine, and it said a vicious hitter that drives people back when he makes contact.
It's a fullback.
Is it any wonder that they moved him to fullback? See, our scouting report was right. We just had him at the wrong position.
Okay. All right.
We had a pretty good – the more we look at what we did last year, we had a pretty good year. We set a pretty high standard that we might have trouble living up to this year.
Yeah, okay. We were going to, because we were looking
when
at it
today. When are you getting those tapes?
Ask B-Low.
You and I will be talking about that in our review.
Why? What's the matter?
I think I should be taking that whole thing over because B-Low's not getting the job
well,
done.
Well, do it.
I will. I just don't know any of this information.
Who it is,
I'll get it for you.
Well, Fred, I'm sorry. I know you're a pretty lenient boss, but I don't like to take over duties without talking to you first. I think that's disrespectful.
I think
so
B-Low
I'd like
would
it
welcome
by.
It, too. He gets on the phone.
We just want the tape, however we get it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, from the last time he talked, they were putting them together. So they weren't even available.
But is this the only source? Are there other sources with better tapes?
Okay.
You know, you don't always have to just fall in line with what you did the year before. If there's a better source out there, maybe we can find it.
Okay. Tom will start writing the letter on page 2.
Yeah. Next thing you know. Ryan Ward from New Brunswick. It's the off season, so I'll continue with my random non-football related questions.
Nice.
How much do you guys really know about what kind of guy Bill Belichick really is?
Nothing.
Is he really an angry, mean-spirited coach that intimidates and scares his players? Ted Johnson has suggested as much. Vinatieri said words to that effect during the Super Bowl week, and I've seen him get mean and sarcastic with reporters during his press conference. Is he softer and more down-to-earth away from the cameras in one-on-one situations?
No.
Or is he really a bully that pushes people around as much as possible because he believes this is the way to be effective?
80% of football coaches are bullies.
What about Scott Pioli? Is he an angry bully, too? Or is he a good cop and Belichick the bad cop?
Oh, I don't think he's
what's
a good
that,
cop.
What's the when you don't have to speak? I take the fifth?
Yeah.
I'll take the fifth on this.
Well, look, we don't know Belichick that much away from football.
Nobody does.
But people who do say he's a great guy to hang out with.
I don't think a lot of those people know what they're talking about.
What do you
pro or
why
con.
Would you say that?
How many people?
I don't think people know him. I think
but
he's as guarded
but
as they come.
The people that do, say,
I don't. I'm not sure those people do that claim to know.
Yeah, you're talking.
I can claim to know. I can say I've spent.
You're talking about people from a radio station in the Boston area who claim to know.
There's
him.
A lot of people that claim to
know
him that have no idea.
All right. Well,
there are.
This is what
you
I.
You disagree
Fred.
With me on that? There's a lot of people that are associates that don't know him. That
right,
think
this is
they
what
know.
I think. I think Bill Belichick has a few close personal friends that he talks to and he depends on.
That rock guy.
Everybody else to him, I think, is either he either talks with or whatever to have near him because he needs them for something.
He's very guarded.
Yes. So I think there's only a few people that can answer that email.
I love Teddy Bruschi.
I think there's people that go on the radio here who claim to know Bill Belichick, like
right.
Andy says, but I don't think they really know him. I think it's just a small portion of people that do.
And the other issue is he's a bully as a coach. I have no problem with that. I think most coaches are bullies. I think there's some players coaches, but for the most part, more coaches err on the side of, I'm not your friend, I'm your coach. And there has to be a fear factor there. There has to be a bullying factor. That's just the way it works. I mean, I heard a story about Fred Kirsch bullying some kid who happened to lose a basketball game on Sunday. Kid was running around 10 years old. It looked like he had just won a game. And Fred said, did you win on Sunday? And the kid said, no. And you berated him, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And the kid's 10.
And this was an interim coach. This
right.
Fred 11. Was just filling in
11,
for the day.
Sorry. So coaches are bullies by nature, and Fred just proved it.
Well, you got to get him to shut up somehow.
How about they're there to have
give
fun?
Give him an inch, they take a mile.
How about they're there to have fun?
They're there to have fun, but they have fun by learning the game.
They have fun my way.
That's right.
So that was hopefully the first and last time you'll ever coach that team?
Yeah, I think I've been asked not to return.
Good. That's probably in the best interest of everyone.
They said, take your whistle and get the hell out of here.
I wish you saw him grab that whistle. I darn near died.
Yeah, I mean, and you made fun of Brian Morey when he was being like that, when he was coaching.
No, he would yell at the parents before they even did anything.
No, he yelled at the kid. Brian Morey was coaching like
yeah,
6-year old
T-ball baseball.
Oh, so 11-year-old basketball is the big time.
It's a little different. These kids are in sixth grade.
Brian Morey said to a kid who was looking, there was, you know, a baseball field, but there was a basketball court near it, and the kid was watching them play basketball. And he said, are you here to play baseball or play basketball? If you want to play basketball, go to the other side of the fence and play basketball. Otherwise, pay attention and play baseball.
If
I mean, it's
if
like
I
six.
If I was that kid's father, I'd be eating his heart.
If I was that kid, I would have punched him in the cookies.
I think kids need that.
Not that way, Fred, when you're six. You don't need to embarrass kids when you're
six.
Structure is fun.
Trust me, Fred. I have a lot of experience in this department.
Oh, here we go.
No, I'm just saying. From being,
what's your experience?
My father was tough on me when I played, like, Little League. That kind of crap is not needed for your son to be a good athlete.
Right.
Trust me.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that I've seen a lot of these kids, and they ruin it for the other kids. You know, I'm not saying at 6 years old, but.
Or 11.
You know, no, 11. Sixth grade, you know what's going on.
Right, 11's a little, you don't have to yell at them.
You're keeping score in sixth
grade.
So
how long should that loss linger with him from Sunday?
I'm just saying, on Monday after the game, you shouldn't be fooling around when in practice. You know?
God forbid.
That's good.
You're unbelievable. Was your wife there?
No.
Did anybody see it?
No.
Were you a little bit embarrassed?
Absolutely not. No. And the kid knew what I was talking about, too. He got it.
I wish I saw
it. He got it.
Poor kid.
Oh, yeah. He's scarred for life. You know what the problem in this country is? Our parents who coddle their kids. My Johnny's you-know-what doesn't stink.
Who said coddling?
That's what you're talking
you
about.
You wanted the kid, the loss, to linger for days.
I wanted
you were upset that a day later he wasn't still
an 11-year-old
crying kid. About a loss.
I'm not saying crying, but when you're in practice, maybe, you know,
you're the,
act like it's a little bit important, you know?
So he's like Belichick. Where does football, where does basketball in, come in the priority? Is basketball first?
God forbid he has fun at 11.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, okay, fine. Fine.
Fred, let me put this to rest for you. Yeah. None of those kids are going to be any good anyway. So.
Well, they may not be. But even if it was my kid, if my kid's cutting up, I expect the coach to say something to him.
Oh, I don't mind if the coach says something to him. No, I don't mind that. I mind if the parent says something, like his own parent is sitting there at practice yelling and screaming.
Those parents are crazy. That's nuts.
Those parents are crazy.
they don't have whistles.
Right. That's unbelievable. The wussifying of America. Salt in Orlando. If Mike Minter is cut for cap reasons, which is a rumor, is he a player the Patriots might be interested in?
Loved him about 3 years ago. Don't like him anymore. Too old and injury prone. That was
a Patriot.
That was a guy a couple years ago who would have been a great fit, but I'm not so sure now.
Okay. Craig from Pennsylvania says, after almost a month of being too heartbroken to even visit the website, it is now
there
time.
There you go, Fred.
What's that?
You should sign him up for your basketball team.
It's the kind of mentality Fred's looking for.
It is now time to start looking toward the draft the next season. I agree that the receiving core for the Pats is awful. But with Tom Brady and a good running game, they can still put up points. Defense wins championships, and linebacker is a definite need, except for this last championship. Who does anyone besides Tom think would be a good fit for the Pats at linebacker? I'm asking anyone except Tom because I listened to Tom talk forever last year about the middle linebacker from North Carolina State, and the guy didn't even get drafted.
First of all, we didn't talk forever about him.
There we go.
Are you serious? Hey, you know what? Go screw yourself. I said Darnell Bing would stink. I said Yabody would stink. They don't bring up any of the good stuff. They talk about one thing. First of all, middle linebacker last year was about a week of class that you could possibly have. There was two guys at the top. By the way, I never said this guy was the best linebacker coming out, and you can go back on Patriots.com and look at the rankings if you'd like. There was two guys who were on top, and then everybody else was just a bunch of just all in a mix.
It was a bad linebacker.
So we looked at, we saw a guy that we kind of liked. And I'm sorry, but the guy made an NFL team as an undrafted free agent. He has to have some ability to do that, even if he's not playing linebacker. So I don't get this whole thing. And we're done with that email. So
he goes
so
on.
So Fred,
to
who
say,
do you like at linebacker this year?
Yeah,
that was a question he asked.
I haven't even looked at it yet. I don't know.
No, obviously the guy is Willis. So far, he has established himself as the premier inside
line. Like a top 10.
And you know what,
right?
Fred?
No. I don't think he'll be top 10, but no, he could be gone by
15 or 20.
Yeah.
You know what? Perhaps if the Patriots weren't wasting draft picks on Jeremy Mincy, who we all said couldn't play, and took Oliver Hoyt instead, they'd actually have a player that could contribute on special teams and would be on the roster. So maybe you should ask Bill Belichick why he can't draft at the bottom of the draft when he's got all those Jags on this team.
Okay.
Fred, you didn't get who
Eric
who
Alexander
want?
Sucks. Marquise Hill sucks.
This guy likes.
Whoa. Marquise Hill was a second round pick. He wasn't near the bottom.
Craig likes Paluzny from Penn State.
I don't like him at
Paluzny
all.
Paluzny, and we don't like him.
I don't like him at all. I
was
said
this
yesterday
in
SPFW.
Or is this a new guy?
This is the same guy.
So he wrote in to tell us that he likes the white injured linebacker from Penn State. Thanks for stopping. See you later.
I don't think Puzlesny's fast enough. I don't think he's stout enough. First of all.
But he's white. You have to love him because you're a Patriot fan and he's white.
He's a 4-3 outside linebacker in the NFL, which doesn't fit.
But this just goes to show there's a ton of African-American linebackers who blow people up and kill people. And this guy writes in saying, can we get the white guy from Penn State? Go screw yourself.
Well, it's probably the one game he saw.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, he saw that he's a highly rated outside linebacker. He won whatever the ward and blah, 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 all-time leading tackler in Penn State. But I just don't think he's that good. If we're going to be drafting white linebackers, I like the animals kid from Ohio State.
I mean, you know, guy can be good if he's white.
No question.
Yeah. But there's a lot of better choices than him.
All right. Let's take a break now, Gary. We'll be right back with more email.
Hey, sweetie. When I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much.
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back there in PSW in progress. I told you we'd be back, and here we are.
What song is this? She Drives Me Crazy?
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
sings that?
Fine Young Cannibals.
I thought maybe it was Millie Vanilli.
But we should announce that we have a treat for everybody next week. All you Paul Perillo fans, you're going to get 2 hours of Paul. I know he wasn't here
boring.
This week. But
unabated Paul Perillo.
Andy, myself, and Brian Lowe will be headed to Indianapolis for the Combine. Fred has a prior engagement. So you will be listening to PFW with Paul Perillo.
Oh, my God.
And possibly a guest or two. God only knows who that could be. But
2 hours of vacuum
thing,
cleaner talk.
That one's going on my iPod.
Somebody from Northeastern.
You do join Dick for a little while.
So maybe Lori will join him.
Gary, you got to be quick with the button on that one because that's where you're going to get all your Paul material. Okay, the other Craig.
I can't wait to listen.
Craig from Boxborough.
I'm not going to go out there and crap my pants just because I'm on the field. I've been on the field before.
Hello, A-Team and Fred. I was just wondering if the Patriots would be interested in going after Carlos Emmons or LeVar Arrington. Emmons would be a useful addition. He was fourth in the Giants in tackles with 62, and he also had a sack in only 12 games. Arrington seems a little too risky to pursue since he only played in 6 games last season, but if he is healthy, he can be a Pro Bowl caliber player. Any of these guys even on the radar of the Pats?
I don't know. I mean, Emmons is getting up there.
He's old.
Yeah.
He's had a pectoral injury 2 years in a row. He's another guy. I think he has something left. If you want to sign him to play, you know, to be a Barry Gardner, to come to camp, try to win a role. But, again, he has to be part of a mix. If you sign Carlo Emmons to play, no. Sorry. Move on.
John from Grand Junction, Colorado. I heard today Dre Bly and his agent are actively seeking a trade out of the Lions.
Who's his agent? Do we know?
I don't know.
No. The Lions have granted permission for them to look elsewhere, and they are actively shopping him
Who's
around the
agent?
League.
Ben
for
Dota?
Possibly a first-day draft pick. Bly is a top cornerback in the league. He has only missed 7 games in 8 seasons. Do you think the Patriots will look into acquiring someone like him regardless of the Asante situation?
Yes.
Also, I'm intrigued by Antoine Peak, a free agent outside linebacker defensive end from Houston. Any thoughts on him?
Has he done anything in the league?
No, but that's not a bad Patriot-type move.
No, has he done any, like, did he do anything?
He was somewhat effective in their 3-4. He wasn't phenomenal, but in college he was very good.
No, I know, and he was talked about. We talked about him as a potential Patriot way back when, but I just didn't know what he's really done since.
Not a lot, but you're talking about a dirt-cheap guy you can bring in to see if he fits into your system.
That's so we'll add him to that group of dirt-cheap guys that we have no problem signing as long as they go with some other guys.
But plus he's not that old either, so that's someone you could take a chance on for a little money to see if you can turn him into something. I wouldn't mind that at all. And we've already talked about Bly. We'd already have the deal done.
They should sign a couple of these guys we're talking about. An outside guy, an inside guy, a Peak, and
Carlos
Edwards,
Polk,
anybody.
Like
a couple
guys.
Of those guys. But also I want a guy you're building around because those guys are Band-Aids, depth.
Right.
I want a guy Thomas. Maybe you say you go out and get Adalius Thomas and you think he's good. Okay. Supplement him with a couple of these guys. Or Willis. You invest at 24 in Patrick Willis. Supplement them with Donnie Edwards.
Right.
And I personally think the issue needs to be fixed with a mix.
But, Andy, the thing I wanted to say was we were talking about last year's draft. If you remember one of the names last year at middle linebacker people were talking about was Kai Parham.
Mm-hmm.
He is now in the
CFL,
Canadian Football League. So that's the kind of depth you had last year at inside linebacker. A couple guys that we were looking at weren't even – I mean, 3 or 4 of them never even got drafted.
Right.
So, but this year you look at the inside linebackers and you see a whole group, guys you can go in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round. So it's a much deeper class. That's why I don't think this year the Patriots can really say, well, there wasn't anybody there. Last year, maybe you buy it a little bit more.
Okay. Ben from Boxborough. I'm actually listening to a past show trying to catch up, and you are talking about trading in the first round. Looking at the trade value chart, the Pats hold the 24th and 28th picks, which add up to 1,400 points. 1,400 is good for as high as the 8th overall pick, according to this chart. The 1st overall pick is worth 3,000, and the 4th overall, which is the pick I think Calvin Johnson will go, is worth 1,800. The Pats' second rounder, 60th overall, is worth 300 points. Do you think there's any chance the Pats could realistically trade up as high as the 8th pick with just these 2 picks, or will teams still ask for more? And do you think they have a chance at drafting Laurent Landry, my favorite player in this draft? I think he'd be a perfect fit and could replace Rodney Harrison for many years when he's done.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't know about the whole moving up thing, but if they get Laurent Landry, Belichick's going to say, hey, Rodney, thanks for stopping. Why don't you retire now? Because Laurent Landry is a stud, an absolute stud. And he'd come in here, he could start right away, and he'd be in the Pro Bowl in no time. Unfortunately, you would have to trade up to that area,
right?
And I just can't see him.
That's a lot to pay. And the other issue is you can't just look at it value chart. And teams do that. There's no question. Teams use that chart. But you also have to look at the depth of the draft. If there's only 8 very good players and Landry's one of them and you can get to 8, then you go do it. But if this is a draft where maybe you can get a couple starters you have to look at the overall depth of the draft. I'm certainly not qualified to tell you that there are 28 NFL starters available. But if that's the case, then I want 2 of the 28, not 1. You know what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
It's not just the numbers game that it takes to get there.
But
it's
variables.
But you are qualified to say this. They won't trade up to get Laurent Landry for 3 reasons. Reggie Nelson, Michael Griffin, and Brandon Merriweather. There's 3 other great safeties in this draft.
Well, that's
his
point about
it. Yeah. That's what I mean.
So
if I can get a Griffin and a Willis, let's just say, which, by the way, that was my mock draft yesterday.
And that
that's what
fine.
I want to do rather than just get one. That's where you really need to get the scope of the draft and – that's going to be the talk. It's always the talk at the combine. You know, Mike Mayock will say, I really think there's 14 blue chippers. And somebody else will say, I think it goes 18 deep. And there's always going to be opinions, and none of them are going to be perfectly right because there's going to be misses, hits.
Right. It's all opinion.
Right.
The draft is all opinion.
It really is.
But in terms of this, I am scheduled to talk to Scott Pioli, hopefully right after the combine. I'm going to do a story on multiple first-round picks, the mentality of it, you know, comparing it to the draft and trading up, not trading up, two for one, historically how teams have done. We're in the works of a feature on that, so that'll be covered in a little one-on-one time with the Scooter.
And Andy and I both think if they sit at 24 and 28 right now, depending on who's available, it'll be a linebacker, whether it be outside or inside, and a defensive back, whether it be corner or safety, at those two spots.
Craig from Boxburg again, I was wondering if there's any way for a team to override your franchise. And if so, what would be the compensation which would have to be?
Override your
franchise? You can. If you franchise a player, a team can still make an offer to him.
Oh, they can sign him.
But if you sign him away, then the team, you get a first and a
third. Two first-round picks.
Yeah.
Two first-round picks, and it has never been done.
No, someone emailed in, Sean Gilbert.
But it was that was the guy I was talking about. It was never done. I went back and did the research. He signed, but he was a unique situation. He was franchised 2 years in a row. He sat out a full season the year before he left. Then there was an appeal to one of those special arbitrators that he shouldn't have been. And I did the research. Never did Washington have multiple – did they get first-round picks from Carolina? I couldn't find
– I didn't think so either.
I couldn't find him. So there was. It seems like there was some sort of deal worked out with an arbitrator.
Right.
As far as I can tell, never has a player that been franchised and then left and two first-round picks gone back as compensation. Because there was another guy, actually, who I don't even remember, Dan Williams from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He did the same thing. He was franchised, sat out a full season, franchised again. It was in the early stages. They didn't really know the franchise. Right. I did some research on this, and it was hard to find specifics. A lot of people say Sean Gilbert's the only franchise player to ever change teams. But when you do more research, it doesn't look like the compensation
played
out.
I didn't think they got two first-rounders for him.
So I don't. It's never play. I don't believe it's ever happened that the actual way it is in the books, because a lot of times they work out trades that it's a first and something else. And
because
I mean Abraham went from
Johnny
the Jets,
Williams,
and there was a first and something else.
Right.
I think.
That's the other thing is you know the team that's franchising the player can do
trade
any
them.
Kind of trade they want.
Right.
You know.
So there's way. I don't think you'll ever see a guy go.
I mean,
Bucky
Jones
was
franchised, for crying out loud.
Right, and they got a third, a fourth, and a something.
Pat from Maine, I think the Super Bowl should be played in New Orleans every year, and the Pro Bowl should be a fan-friendly type road show in a different city year to year. What do you think about that?
That's intriguing. I know there's been talk about bringing the Pro Bowl back to the continental U.S. because, let's face it,
nobody would really want to go.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think it goes the opposite because I think people can go to Florida or California.
I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about the players.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I think fans would want to go because they can. It's a little harder, unless you're Gary, to get to Hawaii for just some whimsical weekend vacation.
Gary goes to Hawaii like I go to Boston.
Right. Most people can't do that. They're not loaded like Gary.
Yeah.
So there's been talk of bringing it to San Diego, a couple other places. But they then signed an extension, I think, to stay in Hawaii.
And I think it's Fred's reasoning is that if you brought it here, then we got down to Vince Young. We would have been down to David Garrard if it wasn't in Hawaii.
All of a sudden, Matt Cassel. Sure, I'll go. I've never played in a real game.
Steve in North Carolina, haven't had a chance to email you for a long time. Hey, Tom, do you remember what you and I had a deal where if Corey Dillon reached 1,000 yards, I'd get an autographed jersey? Well, I think we both won the bet.
Why?
Corey's production didn't slip appreciably from his career average. He had 800.
Whoa!
Okay.
No.
Didn't he have to get 1,000 yards?
I said that he would get. I predicted in the 700s. Okay, he got in the 800s, so I was a little off. People were predicting 13, 14, 50. He said it didn't fall off from his career average. That's not true. He averages 900 yards a year?
He said he had 812 yards with a 4.1 yard per carry average, but he didn't get enough carries to reach the 1,000 yard mark.
That was part of the bet.
Right. If he had 260 carries for the year, which is his average, he would have topped 1,000 yards.
No,
so
you were wrong. Were wrong. What was he supposed to send? Lunch? Steve?
No, he didn't have
anything,
as usual.
Next week, call Papa Gino's.
Yes,
you owe us lunch. Tom gets a turkey sub.
Fred and I get a pepperoni pizza and boneless buffalo
wings.
Paul
like,
gets
not
nothing.
Next week. And if you would like,
oh yeah, not next week. Only Paul will be here, and that badass
like
will eat it all.
If you go back, if you would like to go back and listen to the argument, my point was the shared carries and the possibility of injury because of his age, and that he wouldn't get enough carries to get 1,000 yards. That was my whole argument. So basically, this guy's saying your whole argument was right, but can I still have the jersey?
No. We were right, and therefore, 2 weeks from this week, send us food.
Come on, Steve.
Anyway, Sack he up. Says he's really looking forward to the combine and the draft. The Pats should be well positioned to get some good picks. My question is it better to draft players and take the 2 to 3 years to develop into good players, or is it better to get free agents that can come in and contribute immediately?
I think a good mix of both is how the better teams.
You got to do it both.
The Eagles, the Steelers, the Patriots, they got the young players. They go out, they get those free agents to bring in who help the system. So I think you got to have a good mix.
And you have to financially, because the young players under rookie deals cost you less than going out and giving signing bonuses and all that, and you develop in your system. There's no guarantee that Lance Briggs, say, he's a great player in Chicago. Well, there's no guarantee he's going to be a great player here.
Right.
You could bring him in, give him $15 million, and still have to develop him over 2 seasons. Yeah. So there's definitely a benefit to the young players. It's changed a little bit now with the limits on the contracts in the second half of the first round being 5 years. You know, it used to be you'd get a guy for 6 years. If he's good by year two, it's pretty nice having another 4 years of him under contract. So you do have to have a mix.
Steve would like to see the following: one, we franchise Samuel or sign him outright. We have $27 million in cap space. Two, our first pick should be a linebacker, Patrick Willis or Jarvis Moss, but I think the interior linebacker is a more important choice. Three, our second pick should be a safety, and there are a bunch of good ones in this draft: Michael Griffin, Brandon Merriweather, Reggie Nelson.
Me and Steve, we're like eye to eye. We're right on that.
The second round pick should be a wide receiver, and I suspect that a few good ones will slip through to the second round.
True.
Sidney Rice, Robert Meacham, or Dwayne Bowe might be a good pick. And five, if we get a comp pick in the third for Adam Vinatieri, we can move up to the best remaining outside linebacker.
Well, I agree that the inside backer is more important, but if Willis is off the board at that point, that's where you start to wonder, is there another – that's where our Buster Davis action is going to take place.
Davis,
we're going to have to see if he's –
Brandon Siler,
Siler for Florida. Those guys could be in the mix, but there may not be one worthy of that spot if Willis isn't there. Now, if Willis is there at 24, I think the card should be up there in 2 seconds. I think they should have it written already. Goes up, it's over. See you later. But that's just my opinion, and I know Andy agrees. So
he's right. Is this still Steve?
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he owes us food, this has been a pretty good email. And he's right about receiver. There's a lot of receivers,
yes,
and you'll be able to get a pretty good receiver later. And I also kind of like the idea of you can get maybe that outside linebacker later who other teams might not value as much.
Right.
You see him
and
say, you know what? He is the guy that fits our system because not everybody's going to like the same amount. Now, with more 3-4 teams, maybe that changes a little. Tom's going to talk to Mayock a little bit about that evaluation, but if you target the right guy there, I think you can get a good player third round maybe for that position.
He also brought up a good point, the compensation the Patriots will get for Adam Vinatieri. What, the most they could get is a third rounder.
Yes,
you can't get higher than a third rounder.
But you
round.
Can get multiples.
Yeah.
You know, if you were if you really got a lot of free agents gone, you could get a couple threes or you could get a three and a five.
They probably will get a third for Vinatieri, don't you think?
I don't know.
I'm not really sure
how that system
works.
I mean, it's tough for a kicker, but, you know.
Yeah,
it's based on the contribution of the team that he went to, right?
Yeah, but did he start? That's another one of those where I think if the formula says game started, Adam Vinatieri has zero. And
yeah, but up to the Patriots game, wasn't he on pace or didn't he break the playoff record for points in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I think that's one of those things. They claim there's a formula. I personally don't believe there's
a
formula.
Think there is,
I think a couple guys, whoever's job it is, gets in a room and says, oh, yeah, Vinatieri's pretty good. They lost Givens. He didn't. Why don't we give him a three and nothing else?
Yeah,
and
Givens will be a seventh.
They look at some other, you know, other team, and they do the same thing. I personally don't believe there's a formula. I think they make it up and just decide to give them to people.
Well, they got a six for Gorn, and I wouldn't draft Gorn in the sixth round, so that's a win for them.
Let's see. Sean McLaughlin has some maybe breaking news. I don't know. I don't know if you guys heard this. He says, comment on Brian Daboll going to the Jets. Tom's favorite guy just reported he's on his way. Who's your favorite guy? Clayton? John Clayton?
Probably, yeah. Is that
all
true?
The TVs are off.
That's a
that's
interesting,
a huge, that's
interesting
huge news
move.
Daboll, the wide receivers coach.
His contract,
for the
it would
Jets.
Be the right.
Well, that'd be for the Patriots.
Contract would have just run
but
out.
Is he getting a promotion? Because remember I said that's a guy I could see getting.
But his contract may have just ran out, and he might have said, I can go there and be the offensive coordinator soon and quicker than here.
But this is a, that would be a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I think that's an interesting move. 1 year you lose your all your receivers, and next year you lose your receivers coach.
And let's just say this isn't going to help Bill say Eric's name anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. Or Brian's.
Because if he didn't want Mangini going after Matt Chatham, I'm pretty sure he didn't want him going after Brian Daboll either.
Right. Yeah. But maybe Daboll, you know, like I said, maybe his contract ran out and he pursued
Gary got
it.
The internet in there? What's going on? What's he doing?
He's efforting to do it.
You got the internet? Something. Go to ESPN.com. See if he got anything.
Who's your favorite guy, first of all? Is that Clayton?
I don't like him.
I'm sure he's saying it sarcastically.
Not that I dislike him personally. I just think that Mortensen has good information that's sometimes right, where Clayton kind of just puts one and two together and makes up rumors. So I'd rather listen to Mort.
I like Mort better, too, because I also think he has better personality. I just like him.
Yeah, and
better.
I think he has more contacts.
Yeah.
So when Mort's hearing something, it's pretty good. I think Clayton kind of says, well, they need a quarterback. This guy's available. So now he might go to Philadelphia.
You know who had a good week, Fred? Your boy. When he reported that the Giants were going to cut three players, and he actually got the three wrong first, right. But today they cut Chad
they
Morton,
cut the other guy.
Who was his third.
Who's this?
Pro Football Talk reported, before they announced it, said they were going to cut Arrington, Emmons, and Morton, and then he said, sorry, we messed up. Today they cut Morton.
Now let me ask you guys, this is the Lorenzo Neal thing. Like, I always thought Lorenzo Neal was a phenomenal fullback, and every year you see him on a different team. To me, Chad Morton is a great return man, and every year he gets cut. Now,
injuries.
He was here, so
injuries.
Is that what it is, injuries?
Here,
he
barely practiced because he was coming off an ACL.
Never got on the field.
Went to the Giants, first game, returned a kick for a score.
Patrick pass.
Last year, tore his ACL, I believe, again. So he's a multiple ACL guy as a returner. Your chances aren't so good anymore.
Right.
But he's a pretty good returner, there's no question.
Gary can't find anything.
So...
Go to Pro Football Talk.
Go to KFFL or one of those. If it's out there, those guys are on.
If Clayton's reporting it, then it would probably be on ESPN.
Yeah, it might have been on a scroll or something. I don't know.
Or ESPN News. You got that, Gary? Yeah. Check the internet. KFFL or Pats fans.
It wouldn't say breaking news, Brian Daboll.
Right, it's not like a huge move.
Yeah, but there's no NFL.
No, I know, I'm saying.
Go to one of those sites.
It's not a huge move as far as the NFL goes, but he's one of Bill's guys.
Oh, yeah, for
here
it's a
big move. He's been here for, you know, with Bill since the beginning.
But we talked about this previously. He brought Josh McDaniels here. Basically, he was the go-between, sort of recommended him, helped pave that. And Josh McDaniels clearly blew by him. And you wonder if it's I guess my chances aren't that good here. Who doesn't like who?
Peyton Manning doesn't listen to Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels called a running play or a quarterback sneak, and
Manning doesn't listen to Tom Moore.
I just thought that was funny. Did you catch that, Fred?
Yeah, that little thing we had on Patriots.com?
No, in the game.
Oh, in the game. Oh.
McDaniels called a running play. Then he said, if it's open, you can sneak it, Peyton, and Manning called a pass.
No, that's Peyton Manning. He calls his own plays.
Thanks, but Manning's
old
been
school.
Playing longer than... McDaniels has
old
been coaching.
School quarterback. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Of course, if there's any breaking news, you'll read it first. Well, kind
have
of first.
Have fun next
Patriots.
Week.
Patriots.com, and we'll see you.